This podcast is brought to you by Shout Engine. In less than 5 minutes, you can start your own podcast for free with ShoutEngine.com.
Yeah, rolling. I just drank a Red Bull because I needed it. Smoking Tire Podcast. Yes. Last week we had Alonzo Bowden on the show. Fucking great guest. Good guy. Really cool. Really
good guest.
Funny.
Short episode.
Well, he had to go. Yeah. But what I didn't want to talk about during the show was that I had the fucking flu. And so.
Oh, you did.
I was sick as a fucking dog all week.
I knew you were sick, but I didn't know you had
so
the flu.
So, for those listening, it was, quote, I'm air quoting last week's episode. It was really just done 3 days ago. I was really sick, and Zach and Thad and I had to make a film on top of a mountain where it was 28 degrees the next day. And that was not good for when you have fucking AIDS or Ebola or something, whatever it was that I had. So when he said he had to go, I was like, oh, thank God, I can go home and go to bed. So sorry. Anyway, we got a good show this week. From the Peterson Museum, it's what, digital and social media guy, but
digital
really,
content and social media manager.
Really a lot more than that. AJ Gordon's on the program. Welcome,
thank
sir.
Me.
Thank you.
What's up?
We did your podcast, yeah. And then what happened?
We lost it. No, we didn't lose it. Out of the four mics, the only two that worked were me and my co-host, Chris. So it was us asking questions about a 40-second pause and then a giggle and then us asking more questions.
No. We'll retry that.
If you'd had multi-track, you could have tweaked it.
Now we know.
Yeah. Now we know. Yeah, lesson learned from our legit setup.
And you guys were the reason we bought new equipment. So
really?
Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you guys for having such a shitty podcast.
Sweet. We're good for something.
Thanks for yours being even shittier.
Yeah.
Yours is like, you have better scenery though. Like I can do your podcast and like turn right and then there's like Steve McQueen's, you know, XKSS.
Well, that is better.
It's good and bad. We're down in our basement now, so we
oh,
just
you are?
Yeah, we just stare at each other in a room. But before,
in the vault or in the good rooms?
In the good rooms, in our offices. We moved our offices down to the basement.
Just sitting on old 5 gallon buckets and
no, it's nice down there. The problem
it's
when
like
you were in the Hollywood
dungeon.
Gallery is I would have my back to the wall, so I'd face out into the gallery. I'd be interviewing someone, look over their shoulder, and see a kid go over the stanchions, yeah. Walk over to the Batmobile, slap their hands on the cars yeah. They're walking around, look inside, and you want to jump out of your skin and start screaming
God.
At these kids.
It's crazy that I had a booth of the New York Auto Show. Once, which back when I was retarded, I thought was a good idea for
sure.
My business. And we had this this replica Cobra, right? Which was a replica Cobra. I mean, there's nothing particularly special about it other than the fact that it was a fucking race car and painted orange. But the doors were non-functional, right? You jumped
yeah.
over. There was no doors. But that didn't stop everyone from yanking on the doors to try and open them. Like little kids. I saw a kid full weight. Like,
well, here's what I want to know about
the
auto show.
The fiberglass.
Are they? I don't know what comes first here: the chicken or the egg. Are they taking the shift knobs off so no one steals them, or are people stealing them that quick?
Originally, people were stealing them that quick. Now they are taking them off.
All right, so now they're off.
Them.
Yeah, we have stanchions around all the cars in our museum, and I don't like it because I think it ruins the line of the car when you're looking at a photograph.
But what are you going to do?
It's you can't.
There's nothing.
Yeah, kids will not even kids, adults, anybody.
Yeah,
late term abortions.
Jump in.
You know what you got to do with it when they renovate this place, which they're doing. Right, it's happening very soon.
It's already begun.
Are they replacing the stanchions and vinyl ropes with glass? Clear glass, maybe if you had some sort of, you know what I mean?
I have been told there is a solution.
Is it a final solution? Let's hope not for the Jews' sake.
223 into a 6-year-old.
You know, I think there will be classier, lower restrictive ways of getting in. I think
the clear glass, I think, is okay, isn't it? Is that that's not too bad, right?
Well, what you know? What the
I don't mean like
is.
Demolition Man clear glass. I mean like the low clear glass.
Well, in some of the renderings, we have like metal, little low ankle high metal bars. And what our creative director was telling us, the problem with that is all the sizes of the cars are different.
Yeah.
So you got to have adjustable. So that's why you need something that just pulls out.
Yeah, it needs to be kind of modular in some way.
Yeah, so you need to be able to just put four around a car
yeah.
and pull them around. So we need...
There's no really good solution for that. Most people just do the vinyl ropes, but they don't look very good. And if you don't have vinyl ropes at all, your cars are just going to get destroyed.
Well, the solution is you just have no one come to the museum. Then all of this is for nothing, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. But I do love that museum, though. There's so much good stuff there.
It's great. It's crazy. I've been there for almost a year, and I think we have just about 300 cars, which, when you think about it, is a lot, but you think, I could see it all in one day.
Yeah.
You are constantly learning about a car you didn't know we had.
There's so much random
stuff
in there.
You're constantly finding new stuff.
We had a great time down in the vault, because I'm sure you guys showed me like everything down there.
Yeah. You went full retard when we went down
there.
Well,
the shit that I like such weird stuff. I mean, it was it John Frankenheimer's?
Yeah, the 560 SEC.
Yeah, like, you know, there's like a Tucker or something down, you know, something that's a really special car. And Tucker's a bad example, because I love Tuckers.
There are two people I've been in the vault with that were just ridiculous, and it's you and Blake.
Yeah.
Because you both like the most obscure shit sometimes.
Yeah, I like rare, because I'm not impressed by anything anymore. I'm so jaded. But that car was amazing.
Our pleasure centers are so burnt out
from
seeing cool stuff that, like Chris and I, we have, you know, we have like our favorite cars in the outer vault, and his is like a 280ZX.
Yeah.
With like 4,000 miles on it.
Oh, and that red one?
Yeah.
It was fresh, though.
There's like a 65 MGB GT that's worth all of $7,000. I want that thing. I want that so bad.
What did I tell you about Frankenheimer's car? I was like, I'll give you 15 for this right now. Cash. Like,
you know what, though? That might be an interesting lesson to people, that once you're really around every car you ever see or could want to see, where do you end up? Like, $7,000 MGB.
Yeah.
That's what you'd really want.
Well, we're always pitching exhibit ideas,
mm-hmm.
and they're starting to just get worse and worse. So, you know, we always do talk about, like, well, let's do, you know, coolest things under $10,000, or, you know, like, how much versus what something's worth now. So,
most appreciated car ever?
We did a what were they thinking?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Exhibit. Yep. I want to bring it back and do more shaming.
Yeah.
You know, and really get the people back and go, what were you thinking?
What was in the, what were the original, what were they thinking? Was the, you know, you guys have the Dale.
The Dale?
The Dale
was
in the vault, which is really what were they thinking?
I hate to break this to you, your DeLorean.
Why?
Was in there. I think it was the
DeLorean is not a what were they thinking. The DeLorean was a good idea that was poorly executed because lots of bad management got in the way.
I think that was the what were they
your
thinking.
Your objection.
I agree.
Don't you? That's really what it was.
No, I'm not the biggest fan in the world of it, mainly because I'm just not a huge Back to the Future fan.
That's okay.
Have
you driven a really good one?
No.
You should drive mine.
I think I should take you up.
I know,
mine.
We should have brought it today. I was lazy and didn't. The Volt was in the way. I didn't want to get it.
We had a Corvair in there.
Yeah.
That. Mm-hmm.
Although I kind of like Corvairs.
They're good looking.
I love Corvairs.
I saw a cool one today.
That one like that you guys filmed on Big Muscle was dope.
You modified the hell out of it.
Yeah.
And that's a 60s Chevy convertible,
mm-hmm.
4-seater. You can get $10,000. Nicest one in the world.
No, the nicest Corvair in the world's got to be 50. If you wanted a Corvair like Monza race car, was a ridge, or like a Yanko. The Yanko Stinger? Was that the Corvair?
Okay,
the
but Yanko Corvair? A real Yanko Stinger is $100,000.
Whereas a real Yanko Camaro is $300,000.
Yeah, so. I mean, they're just worthless.
That's funny. It's interesting with the Yanko stuff and the Baldwin Motion stuff. That was like the Celine of like the late 60s and early 70s, right?
Yeah, it was probably, and Chris would know better, but you would even probably know better. It was the Celine, but I'm trying to think of a dealership.
Actually, no, it's more like a Galpin.
Now.
It's like a Galpin. It's Galpin Autosports.
I think Hennessy's positioning himself because he's selling shit through AutoNation now.
Yeah.
He makes crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Like those other things.
I think Hennessy's cars actually have very good resale value.
Oh, yeah.
I've been told that.
Hennessy is one of those I can't figure out if it's good or not.
It's good.
It is it?
It's good, yeah. It's good. He makes money on it. I mean, it's like, and only people's only arguments against Hennessy shit ever is that it's expensive.
Mine's not even that. It's every fifth guy goes like, oh, yeah, you ever try to buy one from him, you're never going to get it.
Yeah, I think that was
20 years ago.
That was a, yeah, I mean, it's.
And you've driven the Venom.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it? To me, it's a great looking car.
Yeah,
I saw it in person at Jet
really
Center.
Pretty in
it's
person.
It's a beautiful
isn't it?
Car.
Yeah, yeah.
It just, I don't like the look of it without the target top on with the roll cage.
You like the when the roof is off, you don't like the look of it.
No. Yeah. I would want one not caged.
You which want I don't it, think you want it caged.
I know you want it caged, which sure. I don't think it's possible.
You
but
need to have it caged. The when they lengthen it and all that, they need that extra.
Is it
thing.
A comfortable
It's more comfortable than
Sunday
a Lotus.
Sunday driving
yeah,
car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, actually it is.
So that's a Malibu Canyon.
You know,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, who's going to buy that?
It's a relative term.
No, if you turn the horsepower down, which you can in that car, there's three settings. There's like death, certain death, and imminent death.
Sure.
If you just go down to death, like, it's okay, actually, because you can drive it not using full throttle. And it has a good, it's not an on-off switch. It's got like good modulation and stuff, and has a lot of low end torque, so you can drive it reasonably quickly without really winding it out that much. And it handles, and it has good brakes, and it's not uncomfortable or anything. It rides better than a Lotus. It corners, I think, at least as good as a Lotus, from my experience. But you could drive it around. Yeah, the clutch is heavy, but besides that, you could.
And if you ask the Autoblog or the Jalopnik commenters, it is a Lotus.
Yeah. I mean, it is.
Yeah,
kind
and
of
then, you know, a Tesla is a Lotus.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the argument, yeah. Isn't it?
And a Shelby Cobra is an AC Bristol.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, all of which are enough. I think it's different enough. I don't know if I would, if I jump on the whole production car thing, that's sort of a gray area.
Oh, so you read that same stupid thread that I did.
I've read many different threads. I've read the threads on our videos, which is the production car, not production car.
I want to know who's buying one.
They've sold 12.
Okay.
John told me that 8 of the 12...
All went to Steven Tyler?
No. 8 of the 12 customers also have Veyrons.
Because you've
got to buy... It's
going
to people with big collections.
Yeah, you've got to buy so much. Like, Singer is a car I love.
Right.
But nobody's first real big purchase is a Singer.
Yeah,
it's your
10th
big purchase.
People, I think that the income discrepancy in our country, and people can't... The people who don't have money think that the people who do have money are choosing one or the other, where they're buying... Oh, that was Thad. Thad with a fat tire right on the balls. Just directly spilled beer.
And you have the kind of pants on where that just will not.
It looks like you blew a fucking elephant load in your own shorts, my friend.
Better on his shorts.
Those
than
look
on the
like
laptop,
expensive
though.
Shorts too. That's a bummer. They're polo shorts. Too bad my discount's not good anymore. Dun dun. What were we talking about? The Venoms
who buys our Venoms.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was a story on Jalopnik like 2 days ago. Did you see that? It was like the average Veyron owner.
Cars.
That's heavily... Yeah, so the story was the average Veyron owner, and I think average is a term... It's like either like... What's the difference between mean and median?
The median is the middle value
between the
highest
and then the mean is the average?
Yes. The added up and divided by the number.
Yes. Right. So... There's got to be some people in there that are really fucking the curve up if the average is 84.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these people think, car people or non-car people think someone saves up or goes, well, I can go afford a $40,000 car, so I'm going to go find the best $40,000 car I can find. They think they go, I can go buy a $1.2 million car. I'll go find... It's like, no,
I'll take all of...
I can buy a $40 million car, so I'm going to go buy seven $1.2 million
cars. Impulse. It's almost an impulse buy at that point.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Anyone who has a yacht that is over 150 feet can afford hundreds of cars.
Yes.
Hundreds upon hundreds of cars.
Besides Captain Ron, yes.
I love fucking Captain
Everybody likes Captain
the
Ron.
The contractor who was working on my house, I swear to God, is like is a sober Captain Ron.
That doesn't sound as fun, but
it's
I can
not,
still
it's
see
not,
the humor.
Yeah.
That actually sounds more of a burden.
It's more like he's more like Kurt Russell in Overboard. Remember
All
that?
Right, I'm back.
When he does the cranky closet.
I'm back. Yeah. I can buy into that.
Fucking. I think the Hennessys are good, and you should try one if you can.
You know, I will get John on the blower. And
I'm sorry?
I'll get John on the phone.
Oh. I don't know what I heard
Well,
there.
What I'm going to have to do to have John let me drive one.
He will.
We wanted to. We wanted to display a Venom when it broke the record.
Yeah.
We were trying to get that car to put on display.
That gray car kind of makes the round.
Yeah,
it would be tough to get in any one place.
It was
for
a timing
long.
Issue.
Yeah, I think he sold it, actually. I heard he sold that car. His new one's white with like martini stripes on it. It's pretty cool, actually.
It looks really good.
Yeah, it's dope. I like it. Is it flat? It's like a satin white or was it gloss white?
I think it's a satin.
The satin white with martini stripes is
because I don't remember there being a lot of glare in the shoot.
Yeah,
so.
It was nice. Yeah, I was a fan.
And he'll work on anything, right?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
He's not married to one brand.
No. Like, yeah, no. He'll do whatever.
He might turn down something super exotic and expensive.
No.
I've seen him do Ferraris. He's done Lambos. He's done. He's done something with a 12 seat, isn't he?
I was just thinking something like a 918 or something like that. He'd turn down.
Well, yeah, you would. You don't fuck with those, really. Yeah.
I don't think you can.
It would require an army.
It's a full on race car built to every last limit of everything. It's strung out.
You don't fuck with
it. I just don't think you're smart enough.
Yeah,
I think you've got 400 of the smartest engineers in the world. You've got guys now that the space program's done,
they go work for Porsche. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you're going to see an exhaust kit for it.
No, you're not going to roll it. Like,
the exhaust turbos. You can't do anything with that. Although not John, but someone else who works with John says they have a customer who has a P1 McLaren and a 12C, and they tuned up the 12C. To basically the same power level of the P1, and the customer prefers the modified 12C to the P1.
Wait, is the 12C the Maserati?
No, the McLaren. No. The McLaren 12C versus the McLaren P1.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking the MC12.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, that would be nutty. And he says he prefers the... He said they're just about the same straight line speed anyway.
Nuts. P1's better looking.
You know what's insane about the McLaren is it's a small car.
They're little.
It's a little. You see it in really person. Little. It's a little car.
The F1s are really little.
They're really little.
Yeah.
You guys
had an F1 for a minute, didn't you, in there? And you have that red one or something at one point?
I don't think we've had one in our collection, but...
No, but there was one on display for a minute or two.
Probably.
Yeah. There's some good shit in there right now. I love the sports coupes display.
The sports coupes came together really
that
well.
That room is... what's in this? So there's a DB4 GT Zagato, which is just the
greatest. The backstory is it's a celebrity-curated exhibit. So we reached out to 13 notable collectors.
Nobody called me.
We don't have a notchback Mustang section.
Fuck you. You have a 93 Cobra in
okay,
there.
We do, but we should have called you for that.
You have a Mustang room right now.
We have a Mustang
asshole.
Exhibit. This was before.
You have an entire Mustang room right now.
Blake Zerong tweeted, "Why wasn't I asked to be included in this?" There is not a hard time.
Well,
Miata,
no,
so
whenever easy. There's a Mustang room, Blake needs to be in it.
So the DB4 GT Zagato was picked by Ian Callum.
Of course, it was
head of design for Jaguar.
Have you met Ian?
Yeah,
he's the coolest guy in the world.
Could not be a cooler guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And the coolest thing about that family is his brother is him for Ford.
What's his brother's name?
Moray Callum.
What does he design?
He's got this title at Ford called Head of Global Design Ford.
Oh, really?
Yes. He's in charge of the design of every car in the world Ford makes.
Nice.
And
interesting family.
I just want to know at Thanksgiving, when you've got Ian going, "Well, we're working on the new E-Type it's all custom handmade. What are you working on? We're bringing back the Taurus. We got a new show.
The new Transit will be spectacular."
Or he goes... the world.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
Because I'm making a lot of money right now. What are you doing?
Do you want to run a really cool, hip pizza place, celebrities eat at, or do you want to run Pizza Hut?
Yeah, but that pizza
place.
I want
1,000 Pizza Huts.
You want to run Pizza Hut. That's the bigger
job. And then I'm
going
to have 84 cars in a Veyron.
The cooler job is the pizza place.
Obviously.
But the private one is in India now, so that might change their perception. Like, Ian, how's India? Warm?
Yeah. Smelly.
Yeah.
No, but Ian's a super cool guy and wears wacky shoes.
Yeah, and he told me he's never owned a single car that he's designed, which I thought was very weird.
Have you seen his Mark II Jaguar, though?
Yes.
That is good looking.
Would that be like the band wearing their own shirt?
No, I don't think so. No? Zach, pull up a picture of Ian Callum's Jaguar Mark II. It's fucking cool.
It is nice, I think he just put like an Alpine nav unit.
Well, you'd have to. What's the solution for that, though?
Nothing.
I guess now
nothing.
There's iPads and
just
shit.
Just have an iPhone cable come up through the seat and you're done.
When I was restoring the DeLorean, I took so much pride. Yes, look at that. It looks like, you know what it looks like? Weesman. It looks like Weesman You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, remember Wiesmann?
Yeah.
It looks like if they made a sedan, it would
Singer
look like this.
Singer should do those.
Oh, Singer would kill it. They'd probably look like this.
Yeah they would look like that.
I want to know what Singer's going to do next.
You guys, if you're listening, Google, if you're listening, the 928. What else would you be doing? Google, is it Ian Callum's Jaguar Mark II?
Just search Ian Callum Jaguar II.
It's fucking nasty, man.
Hey, you want an insider tip?
Yeah.
Go to thesmokingtire.com and look at the see a picture of Ian Callum's Jaguar Mark
II. Thank you. That's why someone writes a check for you.
Why I get paid the
this.
Medium bucks.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to know what Rob Singer is going to design next.
I went there with me and Harris went over there and we tried to beat classic Range Rovers into him.
No, he'll stay with Porsche.
He'll stay with the Range Rovers though.
Icon's already done Range Rover.
I don't think they've done Range Rover.
Not like Singer would do it.
I think Singer could do a really good job there. Icon could as well, but Icon is...
I'm partially gay for Jonathan Ward, so I'm more towards Icon, even though I love Porsche so much more.
I think I'd rather have a Singer than an Icon.
Yes, I would, but I like the quality of work.
I think they're equal.
The thing I like that Icon does is they make it a little bit more than their own thing. They do little design cues, whereas Singer does gorgeous work, but it's just like, this is the perfect 911. This is version of the 911.
I'd rather have an Icon truck, but I'd rather have a Singer car.
Yes.
Like that Dodge thing they had at SEMA 2 years ago. That Dodge, like,
the
power
derelict
wagon.
No, stuff.
The I don't derelict. Like the derelict stuff as much.
It's just because it's not my style.
Right. No. It's, like, it's dope. But yeah.
When I went to the Palos Verde Concourse a few weeks ago, there was a derelict 48
with
Buick.
The convertible, right?
The convertible.
Yeah.
With the LS9
in it. The hood opens up to the side.
Oh, my God.
I liked
God.
Everything about that car except the engine cover. They lost me at the engine cover.
Yeah, because
it was
an
LS9, but they made it, like, dirty. And it's like, I know you made that dirty.
Or make a sheet metal version of that.
The car itself looks aged, but when you see a plastic engine cover and you're like, oh,
you can't age plastic. Doesn't happen.
It's just painted on.
But
patina.
I do love Icon's work though. It's really
I interviewed Jonathan Ward and he told me he has a customer, I think in Sonoma, who has one of his FJs and tows a Singer 911 to the track with it. And I was just like, I want that guy to adopt me.
Yeah.
That's the coolest guy in the world.
But no, what else? The sport. We got one of 13 in.
What if that guy's my real dad?
Nick Mason of
Pink Floyd's drummer,
picked a GTO Ferrari. 250 GTO.
Oh, yeah. Did you get a real one in the collection? What do you have, like a Datsuni one or something?
No. It's a 250
oh, it's a GTE.
Short wheelbase.
Yeah, okay.
It's actually like $1 million conversion, and it's really well done.
That's the way to get one of those cars that won't have the same general experience.
Ferrari
rebody.
A lot of those 250 there. GTEs, which are the same basic chassis
it's
engine,
the same
and
thing.
They put the race body on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just kind of my mind going down the line, then we have... James Hetfield from Metallica.
Oh, yeah.
He did the most rock star move in the world by picking a car he built.
Which is that Jaguar thing, right?
It's like a Jaguar.
It's purple.
It's like,
it's real crazy
Jaguar.
Looking.
And no, it's black
it
with
black
like a kind
ivory.
Of a flat gold.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's a hot rod.
Yeah,
but
it's
a two seater and two door, but that's where it ends as a sports coupe. But it's a beautiful car. What sort of kills it for me, and it's a gorgeous car. It's just a Chevy motor in it. I want to see just that. Polished.
The straight six. You want a 4.2 in there or something.
Are probably the most beautiful old motors ever built.
Yeah.
And it's
the
like
E-type engine was badass looking.
Yeah.
If he put an old motor in that car, it would change it from hot rod to coach built something. I feel like the exterior and interior design and quality are good enough to elevate it past like, oh, this is a hot rod.
Yeah.
It's a bridge car. It just needs different engines.
I'm betting he got a ragged out car. That didn't even have the original motor in it anymore, and that's probably where that came from.
I think he started, like, chassis. There was very little Jaguar left in it.
Yeah, but it is cool looking. I probably couldn't identify it as a Jaguar if I just saw it parked somewhere.
No, there's,
if you didn't
you
say
don't
that's
see
a
any Jaguar in it at all.
Dempsey AC/DC had a... Oh, Brian Johnson.
Had an ISO Grifo.
Those are cool looking.
Very cool. You know, there's probably at least 10... American-powered Italian sports cars.
Yeah.
I mean, there are just so – when you like really get into it.
Yeah, you get the Bizzarinis.
These Corvette motors.
The you guys have the Scaglietti Corvette, which is my favorite. I can't drive that, can I?
No.
It's so good-looking.
There's three ever built.
The Scaglietti Corvette is like better-looking than the contemporary Ferraris from when that was built.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looks like – some people would say a 275 GTB is the most beautiful car in the world.
I think
than
that.
You go, yes, and they made it better looking.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, this is what Shelby wanted to build before the AC Cobra? Why didn't anybody let him?
Yeah.
So next to that is a 63 split window Corvette. The guys from the American Top Gear picked. Next to that.
Sort of obvious, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, there are some you have to have in there.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Well, when this was getting put together and we were hearing who's going to pick up, and then the cars they were picking, there was a lot of like, oh, good pick. And then there was a lot of, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
You know, so it was fun to find out who was picking what. Dempsey picked a 356.
Of course he did. Did he give you one of his?
No, he has a Speedster, he has a convertible D or something.
No, I think he has a Speedster.
Yeah,
he was at the Pat Long's Porsche show.
Was that a Speedster?
At Dais, and yeah, he had a black Speedster. It was nice.
That he bought with his first big paycheck.
Really?
I've
heard that.
And it was
before.
Like 25 years ago. And instead of me thinking, oh, that's cool, good for you, I just went, motherfucker, you got that so cheap.
Yeah.
You got that so cheap. I bet you paid
Ralph Lauren, when he made his first... Ralph Lauren started by selling ties out of the back of trunk of his car in 1964. And when he got his first ever department store order, which was in the whatever the mid-70s was, he went out and bought with his first money a brand new 280 SE Mercedes. And
wow.
It was like, you know, $12,000 or $15,000.
Which was all the money then.
Yeah, and it's worth like $500,000 now.
Sure.
Nice.
And he still got it, actually.
And, you know, in time...
I've heard a lot of... Leno went out and bought some fucking... He bought like an Espada or something with his first paycheck when it was cheap and like dailied it for 10 years.
He always had cars. He told me he dailied
an Espada for like 10
Turbo
years.
Turbo R, I think he said.
A Bentley Turbo R.
Yeah, it was like one of those he bought new and just still has it. And you know what I love?
You'd have to, right? Otherwise, you take a bath on that car.
Yeah, what I love about Leno is he goes, yeah, you know, these cars are so good. Yeah, this Turbo R, it's so good. You have all you do is just change the brakes and the oil and it's like... No, you have a garage that can fix anything. Yeah. Like, for the regular guy, you should not go out and buy a Turbo R. You're just going to cry.
They fix his steam cars. Like, oh, yeah, we got the Bentley Turbo R.
It's so easy to work on. It's like, yes, for a surgeon crew you have, it's easy to work on. So next to Dempsey is my favorite, which Angus McKenzie, editor-at-large of Motor Trend Magazine, picked a NSX.
I suppose it's a good choice.
You know, it's a good counterpoint, I think, to the rest of them, because it's not the over-obvious exotic car, and it's a very influential car.
Yeah, and an accessible car for a lot of people.
And
you can buy a nice NSX for 35 grand.
Yeah, but those
not
are...
Not for long.
Yeah, those will be not for long. Next to that, Corolla picked a Lusso.
That's a good choice.
Which is a beautiful.
This year at Pebble, it was like Lusso's up the fucking ass, and they were all going for a mil and a half.
First year, I think they really got appreciated.
Yeah.
I worked at a dealership 3 years ago that got one that was kind of a beater one. I mean, really needed to be restored.
Yeah.
And I think they got like $850 for it.
Yeah.
And kind of high-fived each other like, oh my God.
And now there are too much. Even the beater one from, where was it? What country was it? There was one, it was not...
The unrestored one?
Yeah, it was from...
Barn findy, right?
Yeah, but it was from, like, Burma or...
Yeah.
Not Pakistan.
It wasn't the Middle East.
It was some Middle Eastern...
Cambodia.
I think the story helped it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can't get them under $1 million.
Yeah, and there must have been 7 or 8 of them that went across the block. Do you think that a couple years ago, McQueen's Lusso lit a fire on that one?
No, I think just the Ferraris in general lit a fire.
Yeah.
I think the McQueen Lusso, everybody laughed at that guy.
When what did he pay for that car?
1.8.
Oh, well, he got a deal
maybe
now, didn't
two,
he?
Between his Porsche went for 1.8.
Wayne Carini says the Steve McQueen premium is 300% this year.
Oh, I bet it was more. I mean,
in 275s, it was exactly 300% at Pebble.
Yeah, well, we had that car on display for a while. It's 275.
The 275, yeah.
And everyone from RM said... north of 10 all day long.
Yeah, it was weird that they had both. It was a record-setting year in terms of total dollars brought in, and also some of the huge ones. I think their estimates. I think they were
the
reaching
GTO
a bit on their
was
estimates.
A disappointment.
And they were thinking they were going to get 15 for that McLaren F1, and they were insane.
Yes.
McLaren F1s don't go from 2 to 8 to 15 in 3 years. They just don't.
Have you ever heard the Wyclef Jean story?
I remember he had a Zonda, and he had a McLaren F1, and I didn't hear much about either of them afterwards.
So he, like, Fuji's are just getting signed.
Yeah.
He's at, you know, in England, some McLaren dealer. The F1's the brand new hot car.
Yeah.
He's looking in it. And he's like, I can't afford this car. He goes, but in a year, I bet I'll be able to afford this car. And the guy's like, all right, yeah, you know, come back in a year. Yeah. You know, you can buy this car. So he comes back. He's like, all right, I'm ready to buy the F1. He goes, well, we don't have it. All we have is the F1 LM. And he goes, all right, I'll take that one. Not knowing, like, oh, it's the more rare. There's only 5 or 6 of them.
Yeah.
Is that the LM? It's like the orange one. With
the orange one, yeah.
So he goes, all right, I'll buy that one. Still has it.
Ooh.
Bought it new, still has it.
I don't think it's an LM, man.
Nice accident.
I know where all the LMs are, and one of them is not his.
Are you sure?
Yeah. He had a blue one. His car was blue.
I've
seen the car. It was blue. It had a white interior.
Yeah. Either way, you're winning with a McLaren.
I mean, I know, but I'm just saying, if you're talking about an LM, there are five of them, and I know where all five are.
The Shines have a converted LM.
There's a lot of people that put the LM wing, wheels, and front bumper on their regular McLarens, which was a good idea because it does look dope, and McLaren would do it. But I don't think Wyclef has an LM. He did have a proper F1, though.
All right, then he's got a regular F1. Well, either way, good story.
He's got a dark blue F1.
It's dark blue.
I thought I heard the story where he went to go buy one. There was only a rare one, and he just bought that instead.
He might have tried to because they had the LM on the show at the dealer in London for a very long time. It's now in Woking at the factory.
Didn't McLaren promise Lewis Hamilton one?
Yeah, if he won 3 championships.
Yeah,
yeah. And didn't he win 2 and then not win another one?
I would have stuck around.
Ouch.
I would have stuck around and given it one more shot.
I like how they're like, if you win 3. Yeah. And they're like, I thought so.
I think he tried to buy it, but they wouldn't sell it to him, too. Oh, but then he went and got himself that Zonda, didn't he?
Yeah, 6-speed Zonda.
Zonda's not a bad choice.
Yeah, it's not a bad choice.
And that Zonda he's got, too, is the 7-3.
It's got his initials in it, the 760 LH.
Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah.
It's absolutely. It's another special edition.
I would enjoy a Zonda. I think.
I hear manual is the way to go with that.
If there was one hypercar, I could get fucking Zonda.
Yeah.
We're supposed to not drive that well though.
Well, that's why Michael Harley was telling us that, and he's like, the paddle shifters is a little not great.
So, oh, but what? In the Huayra or in the Zonda?
In the Huayra.
In the Huayra.
Oh yeah, I've heard that gearbox.
Which I'm sure, as you go earlier generations, is no better.
Just get a stick.
Get a stick.
What's not that well though?
What's what?
Not, when you hear something,
not that well for $1 million.
No. Not that well for a guy who drives cars for a living and who's driven everything.
Right, of course.
Knows how their butt goes into a seat, into the apex. Yeah. But for 99.99% of the world, you'll never tell the difference.
But if it felt like e-gear, for example, and I paid $1.2 million for it, I'd be like, this kind of sucks. I mean, it should be better than that.
It should be as good as PDK.
Well, the great thing is you can just go to Horatio and go, this gearbox, shit. Design me another Zonda with a different gear. Yeah.
Go pull one out of a whatchamacallit, Huayra.
Yeah, out of Zonda, you mean. The manual.
No. Pull the if you want the F1s, go pull it out of the new one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Harley was saying the new one's not that great.
Oh, I thought we were saying
the
Zonda.
And Harris said the same thing.
Can you do manual in the Huayra?
No.
Oh.
Oh, wait, no.
You write a check.
I think
you
can't?
No.
You write a check. I hear somewhere that if you wrote a check, he would make you
one. If you write Horatio's, Pagani, a big enough check,
he will if you write a check for it. I've heard he will.
I don't think there's been one built.
I think Luca told me that.
He'll build you a human for enough money.
Did you know he owns a Carrera GT that he modified?
I'm not surprised. It's probably
like
very
considering
good.
A guy that builds a supercar owns a Carrera GT for excitement.
It's probably good.
Well, I mean, he is largely responsible for carbon fiber being the material for supercars.
I might have suggested possible Carrera GT for inclusion into the sports coupes.
Removable top, though.
Oh, it doesn't count if it has a removable top?
We need a fixed
roof. The NSX came with a removable top
but
for half
not
its
91.
Fucking life. Oh, Angus, 91 NSXs suck.
308 GTB fiberglass from 1979.
By the way, good selection on celebrities with Angus McKenzie. His movies are great.
This is was he the bad guy in Die Hard? Car enthusiast. Yes.
I think.
The best. So to well, top, my detonators.
To top it off, Bobby Rahal picked an E-Type Coupe. Yeah. John Lasseter picked a GT40.
Who's John Lasseter?
I know him. Runs Pixar.
Oh yeah, right. Okay.
And then Bruce Meyer,
yeah,
car collector,
like Bruce.
Picked a Gullwing 300 SL.
Did he give you his?
Yes,
he did. Yes. I love
that
Bruce.
300 SL is a fucking
Bruce
great
is
car
a boss, too. Man. That guy's a king.
Have you seen his collection?
I've seen. I haven't seen all of it at once, but I've seen him driving no fewer than 20 different cars on Supercar Sunday.
And the crazy thing is when. There is no trailing a car for him.
No, he drives his shit to Pebble Beach and all that stuff.
If
yeah.
he wants to drive his Von Neumann, the most winningest Ferrari ever, somewhere, he just fires it up and drives it.
Is that silver, the silver one?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's the Testarossa.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is insane.
Yeah.
Think of just... If a 13-year-old boy with the best taste in the world and unlimited pocketbook was like, go design your man cave.
Yeah.
I mean, it is just the coolest stuff on the walls. He's got a rack of motorcycles, you know, floor to ceiling. You got to walk around a SoCal belly tanker to get over to his 935.
Can you hook that up? Can we go check that out? Can you hook it up somehow?
I mean, I'd have to hook it up for myself first, but then...
Hook it up for yourself, you got to bring us along.
He has got an exquisite, very cool collection. And the layout is just as cool as the cars.
We have someone just sent me an email that was like, have you ever come to Michigan, here's my garage. And it was like... 40 awesome cars, a lot of American stuff, but really neat American stuff. And he's like, oh, by the way, I've got like a 300 horsepower turbo jet ski and like a 60-foot boat and like all this shit. He's like, just like come hang out, whatever you guys want to do, we can just do that.
Yes.
I was like, I think we need to go to Michigan.
You guys need to book a live show.
We should. Should we do a live show from his fucking house? from his yacht.
Yeah. Bring people over and be like, come to this guy's house.
Isn't Lingenfelter in Michigan,
too? Oh, Ken Lingenfelter, yeah.
Yeah,
he is in Michigan, yeah.
He's one of those guys who could just buy stuff.
Yeah, we filmed the first Corvette small block V8 with no oil filter on it.
Ooh.
It was the Duntop special thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the first cast 350 V8 known to man.
It was like it's like a 53, but it had a V8 in it, right? That car had a special like nicknameme.
I forget. I was many cars.
Someone's going to remember, but it had the Duntoff cam in it too, right?
Yeah, yeah. It sounded
the very
amazing.
Famous Duntoff cam.
And he's known for Corvettes and known for muscle cars, and you would think Detroit he's got every... You know, super Ferrari.
For those who don't know this guy, Ligon, you know the name from the Corvette tuner. This is actually his cousin or brother.
No, this is him.
No. The Ken Lingenfelter, the collector, is related to John Lingenfelter, the Corvette tuner, but is not the same person.
I believe this is the same.
It's not the same person.
No, there's a Lingenfelter collection, and then there's Lingenfelter performance.
Yeah, same last name, same family, not the same person. John Lingenfelter, the Corvette tuner, is dead.
Just incredible.
This is either
coincidence.
His cousin or his brother.
Yeah,
it's not a coincidence.
But I mean, two such icons in the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think he runs the company though.
He might. Own part of it still.
I want to say John Lingenfelter's son runs
if there
it
was
now.
Only some way we could figure this out.
If we just had
the
these magic
some
boxes,
magical.
Where you could search.
Well, SEO is not having an easy time figuring
I mean,
it out.
I mean, yeah, he has
LaFerrari,
Enzo, F50, F40.
If you check the Big Muscle episode, we have a quick shop walk around.
Yeah.
All right,
when I was driving across Europe on the Forza Fuel road trip last month, we were exiting Monaco. And we were driving in caravan with our supercars. And we're driving in the middle lane, whatever, cruising. And I see something in the rearview mirror, and I'm like, that doesn't look normal. What is that? And it came by at an incredible speed. It was a blacked-out fucking LaFerrari passed me in the left lane. It must have been 150 miles an hour. Absolutely engine wailing. It was crazy.
Do you like him black?
Oh, yeah.
Like him black?
Oh, yeah. Everything the Enzo was not, this car absolutely is.
Yeah.
You see one of these things on the fucking road, you're like, fuck. It was crazy.
I like the LaFerrari.
I like the LaFerrari a lot.
It's got too much competition for me.
It's a Ferrari. It's no matter.
It's the Ferrari.
I like it much more than the Enzo, but that P1 is just...
Ugh. P1s are crazy.
Ferrari.
LaFerrari's prettiest, though.
918, I think.
I can't do it. I can't get myself to like it. Probably because I asked specifically to drive it, and they said no.
Yeah,
that's
no,
why
that
I can't like
off.
It.
They'd be dead to me.
I like that. I think the 19 is better looking than the LaFerrari.
No,
And roof exhaust.
No, the Ferrari is amazing.
I think the nose.
Really, the guy with the Ferrari tattoo on the back of his leg is going to argue that the Ferrari's better.
Oh shit!
It's true though; it's much prettier.
And
it's
are
got
you
a
guys
real
cool with the parts bin stuff they put on it?
Yeah. On what?
So long as it's good, who cares?
Which parts bin? On
what
car?
With the back of the steering wheel, the volume knobs.
On what? The LaFerrari.
LaFerrari.
I haven't played with the volume steering wheel, volume knobs, back of steering
wheel.
No.
An article came out. The volume knobs on the back of the steering wheel of the LaFerrari, are out of a dart.
I could.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
You were nitpicking earlier about wireless transmissions, and now you're picking out.
Why are you turning on the steering wheel in your LaFerrari?
There are some things that I can forgive. If everything in a LaFerrari, the volume knob is from a dart, I'm not too concerned.
But the theory of, you know, when
when you don't see it, it's behind the wheel.
Let me ask you this question.
Would you rather have bespoke Italian electronics or a knob that you know works in 5 million cars?
This is the problem, because when Ferrari was making their own switches, those switches didn't work that good.
I know. There's just, to me, there's something about you're buying the most desirable car in the world. You want to know that cost was not an option.
I agree. I think that it would probably cost them so much to design a fucking that switch from scratch
for such a low volume.
I don't think it...
But that's why people like Pagani exist, to make the switch, and like Koenigsegg and shit.
That's why I love the Huayra. It's because, I mean, you can open that up and just stare at it.
Yeah. Spiker doesn't
find something.
Pagani has the lowest profit margin of any automaker in the world.
It's not my fault. I don't care. I'm buying the car. I'm not investing in the company.
I agree with you. 99% of the time, I would give that switch a pass.
I mean, is it the 458 that has?
If it was against a DART's dash cluster, then I would be annoyed.
I think when you start talking that low volume, it's acceptable. But if you start talking about a Maserati with shitty Chrysler running gear, that's a different thing.
Okay, yeah. The Ghibli shares a ton.
No,
of
I
stuff
know. That's
with,
why that thing.
Yeah,
sucks.
That's why I brought it up.
That's why everyone shits on.
And that's just stuff that you can see.
Yeah,
is the problem.
If the LaFerrari had the entire window switch panel from a 300, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the entire nav screen from a 300 and all that shit, I'd go, all right.
Well, I mean,
but
if
it's just a little switch in the back of the steering wheel and you can't even see it,
I would give it a pass. The 4GT.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I ours for the first time recently, and it was the first time I ever sat in one.
They're ridiculous, aren't they? They're great.
They're ridiculous, but at the same time, you then go, oh, this is an American car from the mid-2000s. There's still a little bit of a plastic feel to it.
It looks like a concept car.
I disagree. I think they did a really good job.
It looks beautiful. Yeah. The fit and finish is good, but there's still just a bit of that feel.
On the toggle switches, you think?
Just when you put your hand to close the door to pull it shut, there's just that you are reminded, I am still in a Ford.
I think there's a little bit of that, but those cars in particular hold
as
up
minimal,
really well.
Minimal. Oh, no, that will be a timeless, iconic.
That's going to be a $1 million car in 20 years.
Yeah. I think there's going to be too many no-mileage ones. I think too many guys bought them and just sat on them.
But still, but a lot of people crash them, too.
Yeah.
Five or six of them every year become a story
car. I think that is just one of those designs in 50 years you ask somebody what year was that made, no clue.
And it looks so much better than the original
one. And
that's
the coolest.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the interior, I understand what you're saying, like some of the material choices are a little cheap, but it was not an expensive car. But the design, what they did with those materials, it's like Hyundai, like even the door of the 4GT, I love the stark rectangle
where
you reach in. I think all of it works together really well.
Oh, no.
That interior was also assembled by the same factory that does Veyron interiors. and the carbon backing.
In Dearborn or not the...
No, no, not in Dearborn. In Europe.
Oh, I just thought that was, you know, Bugatti's Dearborn.
Yeah.
distribution plant.
And the carbon seats, the shells of those carbon seats, are identical to Enzo seats.
I remember
They add those little grommets.
Yep.
But like other than that, that's like an Enzo seat. It's exactly the same thing.
I remember driving on the 10 freeway going out towards Pomona. There was a Ford dealership, big light-up billboard. When those were out, saying five in stock.
Yeah.
Advertising.
Yeah.
We're overstocked in four GTs. Go buy one.
Yeah. The demand for them wasn't that great until
pre-credit
like,
crisis days.
Yeah.
But you would think they would have sold that quick.
No, there were. I remember the dealer by us, too. They had one for a while, and you could buy one for like five under when they were brand new, six under, like 140 grand at the door. And for the first 2 years, they were 140 grand, 130 grand, and then people started crashing them.
You couldn't get one.
And they said, we're not going to make a second generation.
Could you get one under two now?
No.
Not a clean title one. No fucking way.
250?
Yeah.
You can get one between 2 and 250 if it's got miles on it. Maybe it's been switched to twin turbo. No, four-option car. But if it's got miles on it, it's been driven. It's between 2 and 250. 250 to 350 is going to be your no-miles cars.
I mean, if it's got 10,000 miles, it's not going to drive.
Yeah, but I would say from 10,000 to 30,000 miles, you're talking 200 to 250 grand.
All right.
If you're talking, if you want less than 5,000 miles, 250 to 275. If you want a 0 miles car, one just sold at Pebble, yellow no stripe, delivery miles, 12 miles or something, 345 it went for.
It's insane.
I bet those cars will last. Like
well, yellow is the second rarest color also, with 58 yellow cars. 26 Quicksilver, three of which have been totaled.
Is that what ours is, Quicksilver? It's like a bluish?
No, yours is...
It's like a gray.
Yours is tungsten.
Tungsten.
It's a darker gray.
For tungsten, no stripe.
Yeah. It's a beautiful car.
I think that's the best color.
Stereo. Yeah, you have a four. It's a three-option car. It's no stripe, but it's got the wheels, the stereo, and the painted brake caliper.
I like them without the stripe.
I like a no stripe, too.
Yeah,
dark
too.
Blue, no stripe? Yeah.
I like the Wimbledon white with the stripe.
White and blue stripe?
Yeah, that looks
I like
good
that, too, but I wouldn't want that one. Quicksilver, no stripe.
So, we're rapidly approaching
break time?
But let's we should talk about the new Ford GT that's being talked about when we get back.
Yeah, I saw the headline of that story, but I didn't fucking read it. Maybe I should read the story during the break. I need a beer,
right?
I'll tell you that much. All right, we'll be back. More with AJ. Time to pay the bills. You know what sucks? Balls? Buying razors. Sucks. What happened? Here's what happens. You go to CVS or wherever, and then you got to call the guy over to let you in the thing. You get the thing, and you go to the register, and you have like three items, and the lady's like, "That's $67." And you're like, "How did that happen?" Oh, razors were $45. That's how that happens. It sucks. I'm done with that. You know why? I joined DollarShaveClub.com. For a couple bucks a month, DollarShaveClub.com delivers the world's best razors and shave supplies right to my front door. If you could see me right now, you would see that my dome is shorn.
It looks very, particularly smooth today.
It is very smooth because I have a combination of Dollar Shave Club products. What was that thing, the package called they sent me? I got a package thing that's like the total care thing, and I used all the products in my dome. It looks nice. And plans start at just $3 a month. Signing up takes 2 minutes. There's no membership fees and no commitment. Plus, they have a money-back guarantee, so you really have nothing to lose. Now I don't have to get mad when my razor gets old. I don't have to pull money out of Zach's wallet, which is how I used to pay for razors before. I used to go, Zach, give me all your money. I'm going to the store.
I go, yes, Mr. Fair.
All you have to do is go to DollarShaveClub.com/TST. Stop going to the store for overpriced razors. Join DollarShaveClub.com. That is DollarShaveClub.com. And let's talk about TrueCar. You know why? Because being ripped off when you buy a new car sucks. It happens all the time. You guys see the story today in Alabama?
Nissan, the old lady,
Nissan dealer?
Yeah.
This Nissan dealer was like, all their salesmen just got arrested. Like five salesmen there just got arrested.
Whoa.
They're going to do like 20 years for like wire fraud, and like they would be inflating numbers. Like they'd get subprime people and then get them loans, and then they would get the loans for more money than the people owed, and then they would like stick on all the warranties and shit without telling people. It was crazy. You know why you don't want to do that? Because you're getting these. You don't want a criminal for a car salesman. Just in case, go to TrueCar.com.
Which is changing. Gonna be difficult though.
Some of them are good. I know some good car salesmen, really. But every day, True Car users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features are not available in all states. In the first 6 months of the year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the True Car Certified Dealer Network. True Car users save an average of $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to go buy a car, follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Print out your True Car savings certificate and take it to the True Car certified dealer for a better hassle-free car buying experience. Remember, every day True Car users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com. And, of course, the official video game of the Smoking Tire Podcast is Forza Horizon 2 on shelves and on digital download now. We have it in the office, and I came to the show early today just to fuck around with Forza Horizon 2 because it is mega fun. Zach built, like, a 600-horsepower Skyline. Mm-hmm. I did a challenge where I had to race around a golf course in a Ford RS200 Cosworth. I ended up in the middle of the night in a grove of trees and couldn't get out, but it was fucking awesome. Like, every racing game is all about, like, lap time, lap time, lap time. This game is like, I'm gonna go on a recreational drive, but I'm just gonna like have these people give me some things to do on the way, and like I can run over things and get points for it. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
It's Grand Theft Auto minus the murder.
Yeah.
Well, I said to Zach, yeah, it's like the closest approximation to going out driving on the weekend.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
a game's totally. Ever done.
Yeah. It is. And it's really pretty, and we've built a bunch of. There's Harrison, who's like an editor over here. Built like some Z4 that has like 800 horsepower and no brakes and no tires. It's like mm-hmm. undrivable, but it's good fun.
That's what you do when you're 18.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
He built the 18-year-old version of that car, yeah. But Forza Horizon 2 is ridiculous. It's so fun. Follow us, friend us, whatever. TST Racing. Mm-hmm. If you see our Drivatar out there in the world, crash into me. That's how we know you'll listen to the show.
I keep getting requests from fans to set up a driving club in the game.
How do you do that?
So apparently you can set it up so like it's you and like all your friends, but you can do it up to like 1,000 people.
Oh, really?
So all right. Well, I've only probably spent like 5 or 6 hours with the game. But
well, as part of our deal, I said that we would do another fan challenge thing. So maybe we can find a way to do one in Motorsport and then one in Horizon or something like that.
Can we call them Minions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Storm Nice.
It's awesome. And actually, if you want to see what it's like to really drive across literally the exact same area where Horizon 2 is based, go to xbox.com/ForzaFuel. And you can see all the videos of my trip across Europe on the Forza Fuel Challenge in an Audi R8.
Is that videos. Up?
Huh?
They put that up?
All the challenge videos are up, and I heard that the long kind of compilation video, which I will post on the Smoking Tire, which is the longer form video, it's like 20 or 25 minutes, will be up next week.
Cool. That's pretty quick turnaround. Cool.
Yeah, those guys did a good job. The camera crew does all Gumball's videos, so they're pretty good about run and gun. I thought it was really crazy. We're watching them shoot, and they're shooting like 4 cameras. They never slayed it. Like, they'd be shooting, like, a scene, like, where we all find out our times or whatever.
They may have matched time codes in the beginning.
They might. I didn't see them slate anything, but they were doing, like, ADD cuts in the thing, so it turned out not really to matter.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was crazy.
Shooting with cannons, too, or?
They had a couple of 5Ds, they had a C100, mm-hmm. and they had a red Epic.
Ooh,
as well.
Very nice.
They had the coolest fucking rig, though. They were shooting out of the back of a Range Rover, like Top Gear does, but they had the red camera on this wild gyro that was like the gyro I was talking about that's like on a pogo stick. It's like 2 gyros.
Oh, it's not the octagon holding
thing? No. Like, remember Alex Roy had that rig that was a single gyro that mounted on the bottom of binoculars? So it had 2 of those with, like, handles on the outside, and you, like, couldn't destabilize it. It was crazy.
Yeah, it controls in 2 axes.
Suppose, like, 20
rubber
grand.
Bands control the
random rig. Question.
Yeah.
Does Alex Roy have a car, this license plate says Alex Roy?
No.
Okay, never mind. Different guy then.
You found another guy who has a license plate, Alex Roy?
A guy passed me in Beverly Hills. The license plate said Alex Roy.
No
and I went,
way.
What a douche.
Unless no. it was a Citroen DS.
What kind of car was it?
I think it was just a regular Audi.
Oh, no, that was not. No. Maybe it was JF.
So you were right in what you said. It just was different.
Yeah, it was a douche.
Oh, no, it was a
not
douche.
Alex Roy.
Yeah. But no, I read the book.
Yeah.
And then I was like, that's a cool guy. That's
Alex
cool
is great. He's so fun.
And then I saw that and went, oh, no.
And he daily drives a Citroen DS.
Why?
Oh, Citroen SM, excuse me, SM.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's awesome.
All right, good for him.
He said it's the most reliable cool car he's ever owned, actually.
But he says that and laughs immediately afterwards, the same way we all would.
Yeah. He also calls his Morgan, quote-unquote, reliable, too.
No, he does not.
Have you sat in an SM?
No.
It has the best seats
it's
on
great.
The planet.
Yeah.
The interiors on Citroëns are really cool.
Yeah. This car is great. I drove it. It's really wild. It's like 1.8 turns lock to lock. So it's the quickest steering rack I've ever
used. I will say the French probably have, out of any nation, the most range in cars.
The French are insane.
They went
Their cars
from,
are fucking crazy.
But they went from pre-war Bugatti, Art Deco, race, most beautiful car ever made, and then they've got Peugeot. Like, you know, just late 70s.
Yeah.
There is no further chasm.
They were trendsetters.
Yeah. No, they were.
Kind of.
Were.
Were.
Well, the French have always been a center of design in every facet of,
but even those Bugattis were the fastest, most badass cars in the world at the time.
Yeah, I mean, they still make some crazy shit over there. I mean, Renault was,
still make good stuff. Just, they're, unfortunately, I mean, Citroëns are great, but unfortunately, when people think French cars, they think of Citroën. They think of two CVs, and they go, oh, that's cute.
Right. Well, the 2CV sucks. Harris will disagree with me, but I think the 2CV sucks. I also think Beetles suck.
I agree.
But
Beetles do suck.
I only say Beetles suck because I've driven one. If I had never driven one, I'd be like, oh, okay.
Did you ever see the Peugeot Onyx, though?
Uh-uh.
The concept from a few years ago?
Oh, yeah.
It was gorgeous. It was matte black, but with copper body panels and accents on it. So it just...
I remember that thing. It was super cool.
It's one of the coolest looking
But when you go to Pebble and you see the French section, you're like, wow, the French are fucking nuts.
They invented absinthe and people are cutting off ears in France for a long time.
Well, when I started to work at the museum, I knew nothing about the pre-war French cars. And just to learn about them, it is just the most beautiful era of cars.
You can't believe that they actually made shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's wild.
And, these weren't cars that people bought and now they're rare and they're kind of, how an American car, it's new and knew this was going to be a collectible car.
Yeah.
These
no.
were the most expensive cars in the world from day one.
Yeah, it was built to be a collectible immediately.
Yeah, just immediately they only went up in value and they hold true and they run and they work.
Sort of.
Sort of.
What's that? Didn't Chris buy a bizarre little French car?
That's the 2CV.
He made the film on it. Yeah.
Yeah. He loves it. I think it's fucking stupid.
You drive with a big sense of humor.
It's like a go-kart with a body.
It's the French bug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Le bug.
Is the Le bug.
Oh, I saw a guy in the canyons last weekend with a Renault R5 Turbo 2, though, and I was like, oh, daddy.
What color?
Fucking black.
That might be the guy that lives by me.
Black with a red interior and Sparkos in it.
Nice.
I think that might be him. I've never really seen the color, but I remember seeing
it's
racing.
Fucking sick, man.
Are these the ones that are kind of like Cosworth Escort?
They were, they were wide body box flares, mid rear engine, sort of a Group B rally car homologation.
Yeah.
Square off a Pinto and shove an engine.
Yeah. No, they're cool
cars. Fucking great, man. I really want to drive one of those. Then no one. Why did nobody figure out ergonomics until like the mid 90s?
People didn't know ergonomics was a word until the mid 90s.
Well, that's true. You could cure something called hysteria by giving women orgasms back in the day. So
you can't.
I think they didn't know how that worked. They didn't know how like a spine should fit in a seat.
We thought we could cure the flu with heroin. So
you can't.
Hysteria, flu.
There's a reason there's a reason I'm on the show today.
Don't
let me tell you.
Don't rule any
it's
of
not,
this out just yet.
You didn't have headrests until after 1992.
That's true.
Because Musto's Caprice wagon does not have headrests in any way, shape, or form.
I can't believe they took them that long to think. Like, oh wait, what happens when you get hit? Oh, your head.
My neck hurts after that rear end collision. I don't know what to do about this situation.
Especially if you have a single cab truck back then.
Well,
if you get hit, what should we have behind you? A plate of glass.
I had my first car was a '94 Nissan pickup. No headrests. So I got rear-ended in that thing a couple of times. What's your head do? Smash right into the glass.
Oh, it sucks.
I much would have rather had a headrest. So, yeah.
Well, good, you know what they were thinking? If this guy dies, we only got to cut a check once. If this guy's a vegetable, we got to pay the rest of his life.
It'd be funny if the NHTSA spent like years researching how that back window breaks, and they're like, what is it from the bed that connects the energy to the window? And like that's why the cab is separated from the bed in old trucks. There's a gap, and then someone finally figured out it's people's
heads. This guy's heads.
For some reason, the glass is coming backwards.
What's with all this hair and blood?
The Bermuda Triangle Theory. It's like, you know, all these
things. Animal hit the window at the same time of the impact.
Every
Amazing.
Time. It's X-Files. Mainframe computers printing paper.
So when the Peterson shuts down for renovation, I heard a bunch of these cars are going over to the Reagan Museum.
Yeah.
I asked, you know that I asked them if I can drive the gold DeLorean over there.
And we said?
That they would run it up the flagpole.
Uh-huh. And the flagpole said?
I have not heard back from the flagpole.
Oh, well, let me know when the flagpole gets to you.
Oh, is the flagpole car, is the flagpole car, not going to get back to
that
me?
That car has never been turned on.
I know. I want to be the first person to drive it.
No.
Why not? Do you know what the difference is in value between a 0-mile gold DeLorean and a 7-mile gold DeLorean? Nothing. It's exactly the same.
We haven't paid our dues to the gold DeLorean club yet. So
I'm just saying.
We got to get back in the club to get our Haggerty value.
Do you know
guide.
That if I got to drive that car, I could make one phone call and have a blockade of DeLoreans on either side of this fuck. You know I could.
Yeah, sure.
I could have 12 DeLoreans in front, 12 DeLoreans behind.
So many
there would be a cushion.
It would be
somebody who
DeLorean
would get in an accident
Bukkake.
Would have to hit like 7 DeLoreans before hitting this thing.
Unless another DeLorean hits you.
There we go. That is the downside.
That's how pool works.
How is that
someone's going to have
way.
A great
Wait,
Instagram
how many,
that day.
How many gold DeLoreans are there?
Three.
Well, two and a half.
Where's the other? Was that mean the half?
No, we saw
Third
the one in Reno.
Was built with spare parts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wasn't ever assembled. The guy bought all the extra parts.
Oh, really?
They were going to build 100 of them.
Yeah. And then they were like, wait, this is stupid.
They only sold two. And a guy bought all the parts and built three. And I think there's been a couple conversions.
Really? Okay. Yeah. The other gold, the other, I guess, in real Reno. One is Harrah's in Reno.
Who's it. This guy who's got a pink one?
An asshole.
Oh, this fucking guy. I don't know the guy personally, so I don't want to shit on him too bad. But let me tell you about his car. It is a fucking hideous shitbox, let me tell you. I've seen this thing in fucking Supercar Sunday.
Sure.
It's white. It's painted white.
No.
Yes, it's painted white and then plasti-dipped pink on top of
okay,
the white
sure.
paint. And because he did it twice, because the first time people were calling him out, it was a shit job.
it's in a music video.
So sad. If you ever see a DeLorean that's been a color, it's because someone crashed it and didn't want to pay to fix it properly, because you can Bondo it and then paint
asshole.
It.
I got to tell you, I don't think I would hate it. I wouldn't paint it pink.
Well, obviously.
And to each their own. And from what I hear, it was paid to have the car painted for a video.
I wouldn't be surprised if they plasti-dipped it pink for a video. That would make sense.
But, you know, that car in the right color,
I will give you
think
that.
Would look bad.
No. I've seen a couple. I saw one that was a British Racing green, and they had the interior converted to tan. Mm-hmm. And did you ever see that car?
Could be cool.
Nope, but I was thinking
it looked really, really nice.
I would
have
to go like a midnight blue.
I've seen one of those, and it wasn't bad either.
And like an ox blood interior.
Yeah, red. And I saw a black with a gray interior, and it wasn't bad either.
I think a black with gold wheels would be
it
awesome.
It wasn't bad. However,
mm-hmm.
you just can't do it, though.
No,
it's a DeLorean.
To me, that's blasphemy.
Yeah.
You got to have
fix
it
properly.
How it's done. But and I hate flat painted cars.
Yeah.
A flat black, don't know would be the worst thing in the
on
world.
On a DeLorean? That,
yeah.
Wasn't the Jalopnik one flat black?
They wrapped one in like a Jalopnik
okay,
one that
yeah.
was flat black. It wasn't bad.
No.
It had like kind of like a SoCal
hey, Matt,
speed
you're
shop.
A little, you're a little off mic.
It had like a SoCal speed shop kind of like scallop thing going on.
How about
on
metallic blue?
I don't know. Don't know about that.
Any of them, you can paint them with paint rollers, which is helpful.
Yeah, you can just sand
you
them down, right? You
know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that pink / white one at all.
So you don't think there's ever going to be an R group of DeLoreans? You could start
one,
it.
That one, like, it's got a really, like, it's got a big stereo in it. And it's like, you know, they've got, when they have those speaker grills that look like Batman weapons.
Plastic,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? They got those real cheesy...
Called X-Thump or something.
Yeah.
I,
and it's got a bunch of those. And it's got a black interior, and it's like cracking and stuff. It's not good.
I don't know anything about hot rods or hot rod design. Chris, my co-host, worked for Boyd Coddington for a number of years.
That's
went
cool.
to design school. We
you
have
a Pasadena.
Yeah, yeah.
He did.
I went, he designed a car in our collection that won America's Most Beautiful Roads. I mean, he knows his shit. Yeah,
what
a car,
what car?
Impact. It's like a school bus yellow. I think a 32 Ford. It's got
it's in the collection.
It. Yeah, yeah, it's in our collection. Oh. He designed the interior on it. I mean,
oh, cool.
And so
exactly
it's tough to do a good interior.
He's got an eye that far succeeds me. But what I hate most about hot rods is beautiful exterior. It works. It's authentic. Mm-hmm. Inside, it is suburban seats.
They're fucked. Yeah, yeah. They always use those seats out of the Tahoes, don't they?
Nothing.
Why do they do that?
No headrest either. For me more than a modern interior on a car that doesn't fit.
What about a billet steering wheel?
Kills it. I mean,
the blade, the billet blade.
To me, go as custom as you want.
Nice
boomerang. Custom for the era.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's why I don't like the modern stereo.
I can forgive that. I was going to say that when I did my DeLorean, I was so proud of the fucking original stereo. Fuck that thing. That was the worst stereo I've ever listened to, and I cannot wait to take my DeLorean in and have a real radio put
in
it.
But put it in the glove box.
Nah. So I did my Pontiac.
Put it under the seat.
Awesome.
They have a thing there where they take the original face and they gut it.
Fine.
And they just basically turn it into an amp with a USB
that's
plug
all
for my
you
iPhone.
Need.
That's all I want. That's all I want.
Yeah,
I
that's
care.
The easiest stereo solution for hot rods now. Keep the vintage thing. You get a dial and a volume.
Especially you saw those, you know, so many Porsches with just an Alpine.
Well,
you know,
they had a damn fucking radio.
Mid-90s radio.
Well, and they came up... remember those Blaupunkt things that all those Porsches and Ferraris came with? They were garbage.
But
worst radio.
But
there's
now,
there's a row of buttons, none of which are marked at all.
Now, go find... My friend just bought an 8300 TD.
Oh,
and
yeah?
And it's got like a 91 aftermarket Pet Boy stereo. So
he is
on the hunt for an 80s.
For an original?
Yeah. Just
probably
visually,
a shit radio too.
Just visually.
Yeah. Well, is he going to gut it and do the thing, or is he going to actually try and use the shitty radio?
I think he's going to gut it probably.
Yeah, you'd have to.
And I think they even make like some Becker Europas.
Yeah.
That look at least try to look like
all of those SLs. By the way, the old SLs that are going at Pebble now, they're all listing Becker Mexico.
Yeah.
About that radio, they're all about it.
You can't find them.
No, they're impossible. I think that to find a replacement Becker Mexico is like a $5,000 thing at this point.
Like steering wheels, all that stuff is just impossible to find.
Yeah. We got a lot of questions.
Well, I want to hit one thing before we do that.
Yeah.
So, the Ford GT. So, there's been talk
about the new one. Yeah,
that Ford wants to go back to Le Mans. And what car are they going to run at Le Mans? So apparently there's some skunkworks.
It's all speculatory as hell. Basically, I looked up. Motor Trend says their sources are saying that in 2016 it's the 50th anniversary of their racing. So they are telling Motor Trend that they will build a car that will hark back to the GT, can also be ran in racing and on the street. So
my favorite thing about those articles, like in any of those real magazines, like I had a fucking... one of my first ever issues of Car and Driver, if not my first, was like, will the 1987 Corvette be mid-engined? And then like a month ago was the exact same cover. Like, will the C8 be mid-engined?
Can we have an archive
30 years later?
Couldn't we pull together all the mid-engine Corvette cover stories?
Love to see somebody pull together all the...
Because they have them in archives somewhere. I like the LA Public Library probably has Car and Driver
they
since day
magazines,
one.
They sell magazines, man. Those things sell books, huh?
But I will say on the Ford GT, it makes sense because Ford hasn't gotten... Ford is now completely lacking a car to compete with the Hellcat, the ZR1, and the Z28.
Well, they will. They have a new Mustang.
Well, they have a new Mustang
right now.
There's nothing in the high end. Nobody wants to spend $100,000 on a Mustang. But I mean, if there was a Ford GT,
I think Shelby would tell you otherwise.
They will, yeah,
that Shelby fucking GT1000 thing is $225,000.
Okay,
they sold like 12 of them.
All right, I'll give them
that. Race car?
Huh?
The one that they doing wheelies.
The one they faked doing the wheelies. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And but they also said the new. On drag radios, the new Mustang will pull the wheels off the front of the car.
Did it really?
That's what they said on drag radios.
It will?
Wow. Well, we were talking to Mike Meyer, and he's like, yeah, the engineers were down here saying drag radials yanks the front wheels on a hard launch.
That's awesome.
On a Shelby?
No, on the new Mustang.
The new GT.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No.
That's what they said, the engineers.
That's a hearsay, but well, I'd like to see it,
but
though.
But they said the way the suspension is and how it hooks up and puts the power down.
You're like hurting that car.
They just released the Hellcat Charger, 0-60 in 2.9.
Yeah. How do they make...
2.9!
But same engine, same transmission.
Yeah.
Same.
When we went down to Texas, we had a drag race. Okay. Two cars, identical drivetrains. Hennessy's CTSV wagon with three passengers in it versus me in Hennessy's Camaro ZL1. Identical drivetrains, but with the extra weight over the rear wheels, with that much power in a rear-wheel drive car, that extra weight, Hennessy fucking walked me because he hooked up that car and was gone versus I was doing a burnout.
So that's it. It's
gear.
The real weight.
Yep.
Extra
weight, longer wheelbase, mm-hmm. and yeah.
Well, so, and then the Z06 numbers came out where it's 2.95-60, which is whatever.
It's really fucking good.
It's really fast, but I mean, somebody's going to go 2.9. It's faster, you know. But it's impressive number to me was 1.2 G on the skid pad with stock rubber.
How fast does it get to 150?
Really,
I'd like
fast.
To see runway racing.
Probably.
I need a standing mile number for the Z06.
Well, let me ask you this: do you do SRT Hellcat Challenger? No, I'm sorry, Charger or M5.
Oh,
Hellcat Charger
M5.
With a bunch of money in the.
I think you do the Charger.
I do Hellcat.
I think I do too.
Oh yeah,
I love the M5.
Yeah, I love the M5 as well.
To me, there's something about a high performance four door.
Yeah,
I love. I think I do
the
Charger.
M5 would be better on a racetrack. If I had an M5, I'd never take it to the racetrack.
No.
The M5 to me is a road car.
The interesting one that just the C63 they just showed off, and that looks like that's going to be a lot of fun too.
It does. Does it have rear tires on it? Finally,
I got to see the interior.
They didn't show that off.
It's the same as
the AMG.
Oh, we looked at it. It looks kind of the same.
Now,
didn't the interior of the Hellcat Charger look kind of the same as the current Charger?
Yeah, who cares?
It was good. The seats are so comfy.
Something I just kind of have
the price,
is the underdog that I want them to brutally make better. Will Chevy try to get in the game with the SS?
Dude, those things have fucking tanked as like we said they would.
That car's
nobody's
not
buying them.
No, you get magnetic suspension and a whole bunch of other shit.
It's
for
still
the
not
new
good
one.
Looking enough. It's mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
No, it's not a bad looking car. It's just not a different enough
right.
looking car.
It's a sleeper
car.
From the factory.
It looks like
but
a C63.
You drove one. Is it a good car?
Yeah.
It's a good car to drive.
But it's not a striking car, so you're not going to be able to put a bunch of power in it and then be like, here, pay us a bunch more money.
I mean, the Charger's not a strike. I mean,
I think the Charger's kind of
love what they did with the front end of the new Charger. I don't love
it. I don't like the scallops on the side.
But
of
you
it.
Can't say that it's not Bolt, whereas the
if
no,
you
no,
it is zero.
But there's still
SS.
A rental car out there that looks like what you're buying for the Hellcat.
I think the Hellcat will probably look different. The Hellcat Challenger looks pretty different from the. If you look at them side by side, there's a lot of differences there.
No, I mean, that's a car that for 19 grand looks terrible, for 49 grand looks great.
Yes, I agree with you.
The SS, I think you've got so much potential with that car.
It does, yeah. No, fuck yeah, dude. It's a ton of car for $44,000.
If they put a ZL1 blower on it with all that other shit,
it's just kind of bland. That's all.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's
just kind of a bland
car.
Like, mm-hmm. I don't like the Challenger, but to me, 707 horsepower makes up for a lot of sense.
Fuck you. That motor and the interior. Interior of the new Challenger is really nice.
To me, and what we're going in a direction, and I love this, the GT car is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I love, like, give me British two-seat roadster, lightweight, Miata type car.
Yeah.
And then give me Italian front engine, long,
hell yeah,
four-seat leather.
Dude,
60 to 120.
I would go cross-country in a hell. I'm so excited. I get a Hellcat on Monday. I'm very excited. We're going to drive it to San Francisco. We're going to make a film for Drive. We're doing Hellcat versus Alpha 4C, which will be very interesting for Drive with myself and Musto.
How is the 4C?
Really cool.
Is it?
It's really cool.
Are we driving up the same day?
We're driving up together. You can drive the Hellcat up.
We should take Highway 25.
You may drive the Hellcat up. I'm driving the Hellcat back, so you can drive it up.
No power, and there's no power steering on them?
On the 4C, no.
So
the 4C is very interesting. It's really like it's like frantic. It's like a frantic.
You guys have the 4C all next week?
No, we have the 4C in San Francisco for 3 days.
Ah, shit. I can't.
Apparently, the 4Cs are they're worried about mileage because they need, there's just not very many of them.
Yeah.
And so they were like, you guys can make this film, like, go out and have fun, but would you mind not wasting 800 miles by driving it to San Francisco and back?
And we were like,
so they're
thank you.
So they're putting it on a truck.
I would have driven that car up.
I would have too, fun, but they're putting it on a truck and sending it to San Francisco.
I guess it's reasonable on their part.
I completely understand that logic, and if that means I can have a Hellcat and a 4C at the same time to make a film, thank you, Mr. Brown. Thank you, Chrysler. We will bring them back in one
piece. How will the 4C compare to the Boxster? Or
the Cayman? Well, it's, at least in the 20 minutes that we had in it, it's more ragged and kind of visceral and exciting and
raw. It's a
rawer.
Mechanical, non-tech
car. Yeah. Like, it's a weekend. Like, I'd rather buy the Cayman, but I'd rent the Alpha for the weekend. You know what I mean?
I think it was on your show. I think it was Dan Neal.
Yeah.
Was talking about the F-Type.
Yeah.
And he goes, the F-Type is for a guy who marries a 911 and cheats on her with the F-Type.
That was much more eloquent. I said, while the 911 owner is at the track, I'll be rolling up to your house in the F-Type and fucking your wife.
It's a little more eloquent. I work for a museum. I got it. No, but that's
true. I think
true.
Dan
it's,
wins. That's why he gets a
it's
Pulitzer.
For a guy who drives a Boxster. Or a Cayman wants to go, I want to make it a little bit different, try something a little different.
4C was very exciting car. To awesome drive car. It is like a thrilling experience.
My heart rate was up.
Yeah.
It was good.
But it's also a workout. The steering's really heavy.
You'll be tired.
On a tight canyon road, that car is a workout. It's shoulder. Really heavy I steering.
I didn't think it was that bad.
If compared to other cars, I mean, it's a workout.
Yeah, but it's a nice, pleasant, weighted, like, yeah, I'm driving something.
Yeah, but I get the same thing in a Boxster or a Cayman without all the extra effort.
But like you said, for a weekend car, you want something.
Yeah.
You want to know you're driving a car.
Yeah. If you like to the Lotuses, this is a better version of those.
Yeah, I had a 79 MG Midget that I would take from West Hollywood. Which was apropos to owning a 79 Midget in West Hollywood. And I would go all the way out to Malibu Canyon and back.
Yeah.
And to Malibu Canyon was the most fun of my life. Mm-hmm. Once I hit sunset, I hate it. I mean, I could not wait to get out of that car. I was sunburned. I was sweaty. I was tired. I was sore. But that's what you want out of a
sometimes,
Sunday weekend
drive. My Corvette beats me up sometimes just because I usually drive with the roof off, so I'm just hot.
Sometimes you need a little bit of roughness
sometimes you
in your life.
Get, yeah, the DeLorean beats me up, too. The DeLorean's fucking hot. It's hot in there. It's always hot.
You've never appreciated power steering and air conditioning more than when you get into a car out of one that doesn't have
it.
It
has neither.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I mean, I had this old muscle car in high school. In July, it's like PE's at the beach, which is awesome. I'm not complaining about that. But when you get into a vinyl-seated car with huge windows in the summer, no AC, and it's you just got out of the sun, when I get in my car now and turn air conditioning, I'm like, thank
amazing.
You.
Yeah.
You know, the thankful thing is that when we were in high school and we were driving those shitty cars with the vinyl interiors, shorts went down past your knees, so it saved
for a reason.
Yes,
that
saved
reason.
Your legs on the seat.
True.
If you remember those cars when you were a kid and people were wearing shorts that were six inches away from your balls, and you just got in the car and you deep fried your legs.
Yeah,
that's
why I like the cloth seats, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'll always go with the cloth seats. If I could order a fucking Ferrari 458 Spider, what do they call the thing? The Special A.
Yep.
Special A with cloth seats. I would
see. I would rather do cloth inserts over suede inserts.
I would too.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the suede as the shifter on the shift boot.
Not on the on the boot. It's okay.
No, I mean
it wears off the knob.
It wears off.
Yeah.
They wears off the steering wheel. You look at a used Boxster.
Yeah, it's
and
bad.
It's worn.
We just
down.
Had a good, a very elegant solution. Should we talk about this for a minute? We had the Volvo V60 Polestar. For 24 whole hours, we
that's
had the
cool car.
It was really cool. Really
so better
cool
than the better than the last Polestar we did.
Yeah,
so,
way better.
Yeah. Well, the last one was what the C30.
Yeah,
the C30 was
it was barely a Polestar.
Was a swing and a miss. Yeah. So Volvo Polestar is a separate company. It's not like AMG within Mercedes. It's still like AMG was to Mercedes. Yeah, kind of. And so Volvo's kind of allowing them to creep in. Little by little into their lineup. So the S60 Polestar that I drove in Sweden a year and a half ago was basically a tune and some little things here and there. So this one has is they take the V60, the wagon, but they also do the sedan. Ohlins dampers, 80% stiffer springs, 14-inch front brakes with 6-piston Brembo calipers, a bigger turbo, a better intercooler, carbon fiber strut tower brace, 20-inch forged wheels, Michelin Pilot Supersport tires, and some little things in the interior.
Yeah, that's not fucking around.
It's dope,
no,
dude.
They make great stuff. They, I think they did Ron Aleno's garage.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like the C30.
It was the initial one, yeah. the one that came down.
The all-wheel drive, yeah.
Which,
yeah.
You know what, do you remember what they called the color of the car?
Yes, Swedish Racing Green.
Swedish Racing Green, which yeah, it's like an aqua blue.
Yeah, it's technically called Rebel Blue. I'm painting my Fox body that color.
It's a good color.
It's a great color.
It's kind of awesome like the Laguna Seca blue on the M3.
It's similar. That has more like a shifty kind of... remember the Mystic Cobras, like a shifty thing?
Yeah, some pearl.
Where it looked blue and then green from different angles?
When my friend in high school was putting the body kit on his 94 four-door automatic Corolla.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
That, and when he needed to paint the body kit, I said, paint the whole car Laguna Seca blue.
Did he?
No, he just kept it white. Oh, okay. He didn't want to stand out too much. Yeah. You had to be subtle at some
point.
It's
got to be track ready. You don't want to paint your body
kit. No, I remember when I was getting my license in Pasadena, I saw on Auto Trader, a used car dealership had an 850 canary yellow T5R.
Ooh,
suede inserts.
Yes.
I think it was a 5-speed manual.
Very nice.
It's a cool all-wheel drive, 250 horsepower.
Wagon or sedan?
Sedan, 10 grand. It's 10.5.
Mm-hmm.
I remember showing it to my dad.
Yeah.
And I wanted this car in the worst way. And he looked at me, and I mean, not as a joke, just said, "You do want to get laid, don't you?" And I went, "You know what? You're right."
What did he end up, what did you end up getting?
An Acura. I got an RSX.
Oh yeah, did you get laid in that?
No. No. No.
Wait, I had the girl's like, "If you only had a back seat."
I had to compensate and get a Hummer H3.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well, that didn't work either, did it?
You know what? It helped. It helped better.
Did it? Really?
Yeah, no, it helped.
Wait, go back. How did you like the RSX? Because I actually missed the RX.
There's a beautiful one that parks here all the time.
I know. Still miss it. They made, the Type S,
yeah.
And then they made an A-Spec.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I think was just suspension and a body kit.
Yeah.
But you try to find it. Just a clean RSX.
They missed the boat by not doing a second generation of that car, didn't they?
You know what? They changed the taillights and the front headlights.
No, but not like a real second.
Yeah, not a real one, but that car was
such a good car.
I had the automatic,
yeah.
So I had the non-S, 160 horsepower, and just screamed. When the VTEC kicked in, that car had just one of the coolest, to me, on the freeway.
17-speed manual, yeah.
No.
No, I drove the Type S once, and it was really good. It was such a good car.
Great comfortable seats, great interior, great stereo.
Really, like, clean lines, like a good-looking car.
Acura had some great cars.
Dude, Acura in 2005 was the shit.
The TL Type S?
They had the NSX, TL and CL Type S, RSX, first-gen MDX.
The first-gen TSX was a great car.
Yeah, like, their lineup was so dope, and they literally pissed it all down the toilet.
Do you
think they have nothing?
It could come back.
Yeah, anyone can come back.
But what they're trying to do now with the new TLX.
They need to not suck. If they start not sucking, it's not hard. It's not hard to not suck. Look at Acura's cars. No one in that boardroom looks at that fucking rendering and goes, "Excuse me, sir," and go, "This is heinous. This is an ugly car."
I will say at least they're trying.
What are they trying?
I mean, do you remember that ZDX? It was kind of like an X6M.
Yeah, yeah. I had one as a press car. Remember that fucking thing? What a piece of junk.
ZDX?
The ZDX? What a piece of junk
that
thing was.
The problem is it didn't get worse. They just stopped.
That car
and
was...
everyone else got better.
The word hateful comes to mind. I hated the ZDX.
I wrote a rant about that car because they sold 5,000 of them. And then they were like, "They're bringing it back." And I just went...
That car was awful.
Why?
Awful.
5,000 cars.
Not just, not even just the looks. Like, dynamically, it was bad. It was
nothing
as
bad as a Nissan Murano convertible, though. Who green lights that?
I saw like two of them in a week. Like,
you don't think we'll see one of Bear Jackson in 10 years?
Yeah. Well, do you think it's the new Jolly? It's the new Fiat Jolly.
Oh, it might be.
The Murano convertible is the Fiat Jolly in 2014.
Get one and bubble it.
Nissan has a wonderful way of making absolutely awful convertibles.
I enjoyed the 370 Roadster for what it was.
Do you remember how bad the 350 like Roadster looked?
Yeah, that one was
rough.
That was a terrible looking car, yeah.
What's on Facebook? Anything good?
Well, so you guys already answered it about the gold DeLorean.
Before we get to interior, well, I got to finish on interiors. Have you seen the Porsche Pasha interior?
Oh, it's great.
No, what's the Pasha? What?
It's psychedelic.
It's like amazing. Yeah, it's like hippie trippy interiors from the early 80s.
Oh, yeah. They had some crazy.
Yeah, that's like, an awesome cloth interior.
Hurts your eyes. I love the houndstooth inserts.
Yeah. I love those on the picnic basket in the Mercedes. Loved in the 300
I even love you can get new Volkswagens that are like that.
You can.
Noah was big at Pebble this year, though. Look at that. Houndstooth and weird colors.
Dude, look at this. Look at that.
Yeah,
that's
the you can get down like a 944.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it looks like it's a clockwork orange. They used to make hammer pants out of.
Look at some of the German 911s from like maybe on the SEs.
Yeah.
You can get them all cloth.
Yeah.
Like blue
Magnus
cloth.
Has a couple of them that have really weirdo interiors.
Let me ask you this. How do you feel about Magnus Walker doing Porsche commercials now?
Is he in a commercial? I haven't seen the commercial.
I was watching CBS Network television. Yeah, I mean, I was watching as Florida white people NCIS channel as you could get.
And Magnus is in a commercial?
It's a Porsche commercial. It's for the Macan. And it's talking about
Magnus.
About every, you know, for this guy. And then it gets a for the rebel. And it's him getting out of his car. And I'm just like,
out of his martini livery car?
Nah. The white with the red.
Yeah.
I'm just like, and you just jumped the shark for me.
You know, I don't blame him, actually.
No, I don't either.
I like Magnus a lot. He's always been super nice.
Nicest guy in the world.
And I like talking cars with him.
Yeah.
And I like his cars a lot. I knew he was doing a Porsche marketing thing because he's been appearing at everything.
Yeah.
The Macan commercial. I don't know.
Probably the Rebels car.
I don't dislike. I mean, I haven't driven the Macan. I haven't sat in one. I think it's a good looking car.
Didn't you drive it?
I drove it. It's great.
I think.
I mean, I'm serious. It's very good. Dynamically, you're like, what the fuck is this?
Porsche isn't going to make a bad car.
It's real good.
I sort of have this. Like, do you have like a guy you respect enough where you go like, I have no clue what you're saying, but I'm going to go along with you because.
Oh, yeah.
That is me with Porsche. It's like, I don't think this is a good idea,
yeah.
But because you say it is, I agree with you.
I have a couple guys like that. Jamal at SVT, yes. For okay. Sure. He's king nerd. Big ups to Jamal. He's king nerd. Hartmut at Rentec.
Sure.
That mm-hmm. dude, yeah. Okay, whatever you say, homie, yeah. No worries.
That is Porsche.
Yeah. Who else? But Joey and Batim about suspension tuning, absolutely, at BBI. I will whatever they say, sure.
Anytime Porsche comes out with something where they go like, oh my God, you're ruining the brand, you're killing it, I go, nope, greatest thing in the world.
And when it comes to Mustangs, the guys at Maximum Motorsports are
you know who about. Just came to mind?
Sure.
Gail Banks. Gail knows his shit.
Oh, you want to talk about a turbo?
Gail Banks is building a truck for a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And that is a guy where you go, you are nuts and in a great way.
It's like 2,500 horsepower. It is absurd. Like,
I want to take a diesel Mercedes to him. If I just had all
a
the
300D?
Money. Yeah. Take it to him and say, make this thing go as fast on the freeway for as long as possible.
Remember,
as
you ever see the Lost Highway? David Lynch film, early 90s. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that weirdo chase scene in that movie?
Yeah, that weirdo chase scene.
Yeah.
I mean,
what's
everything
in
that movie
was
weird.
What's the fucking actor's name? Oh, God. He's the boss in the movie Big, the boss of the toy company.
Yeah.
He was then in the Sopranos also. I can't remember his name. He's like an evil guy. He's old. He's got a scowl like this. And
once again, if only there was some sort of database on the internet.
I don't know.
With
for
internet.
Movies.
John Rosales, Louis Eppolito.
Is that Lost? Lou Eppolito. What's he
Robert Blake. There's no pictures of these people. This is Lost Highway.
Oh, hang on. So anyway, there's a scene in Lost Highway where there's a car chase scene, but this guy has like one of those Mercedes. It's like one that looks like the diesel one, but he opens the hood and there's this very crazy looking engine, and he says it's like 1600 horsepower, and it's so weird.
See, I think you do modern diesel Mercedes motor.
Yeah,
do the whole power plant.
Drop it in.
Do the 600? Extended tank. Put it on some air ride.
Yeah,
you will have the greatest freeway cruising
totally.
Car.
Do
in
you
the
know
world.
Our buddy Jeff Glucker from Hooniverse?
Yes, I sat next to him on a panel.
Robert Loggia.
Robert Loge. Yeah.
Do you know him?
No, I know who the actor is. Yeah.
You know who he is, right?
So. I know who the actor is, yeah. Fucking, but Glucker's building a
this fucking guy.
Old Mercedes wagon, but he's putting a Hemi in it.
A manual. It's going to be great.
Yeah. That will be cool.
It'll be so fun.
Yeah. That will be cool, but it is one of those, why are you doing that?
Because it's going to be awesome.
It'll be fun.
All right.
But what a big 1960s Mercedes with an E350 Blue Tech in and air ride would
be
the best. And that classic interior with all that great perforated leather they did back
then. And this is the complete opposite direction, but in the same family. 2002 BMW.
Mm-hmm.
Go find a totaled 135i.
Oh, fuck.
Take out the brakes, the suspension, transmission, engine, everything, and just...
I've seen one.
I like the way you think.
I've seen one with an V8 from an M3 shoved into it.
We're going too much. Is this a finesse game?
Well, which
You don't want a machine gun here. We want a sniper rifle.
Oh, you said V8. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the V8.
I think you've got more than enough horsepower out of a 135i.
Oh, yeah.
And just...
Short enough wheelbase.
Problem is, 135, long motor. V8, shorter motor. So they stuck it right in there.
All right, I'm coming around. I'm slowly coming around.
Just got to move the firewall in the 2002.
Look, if you have enough money to get this done, you have enough money to fix your problems.
Yeah. It was when I was down at, what the hell? We had the guy on the show, and he tunes exclusively German stuff and builds all this crazy shit. He had an E46 M3, but with the V10 motor and twin turbos going into it.
That's necessary.
Chris, can you still do all? Can you do audio out at the moment?
I
feel like we should play this.
Isn't the 135
really.
A
just
four?
Fucking good?
No.
Let me just put my mic on the thing.
Yeah, just bring the mic down to it.
All right, hang on.
That would go in there.
Yeah, that'll work.
This is the from Lost Highway, the Mercedes thing.
Let's take a ride.
Is that a 450? SEL?
Yeah, it looks like a 6.9.
It's John Frankenheimer's.
And it looks like they're filming on Latigo.
Probably are.
It's a beautiful day.
Is Gale Banks in this? What are you trying to do?
No. But there's a car coming up behind him, and it's going to chase him.
You did a great job, Pete.
Chase him.
I haven't watched this in at least 10 years.
I've never seen this movie.
Oh, you haven't?
It's weird. I'm still not going to see it because this is the radio.
Still not. There's an old Thunderbird coming up.
If you guys want to see this, go to thesmokingtire.com.
Go to...
We'll post it.
Don't do this while driving.
Oh, no. It's getting close to his bumper.
Is that a Thunderbird?
What's he doing? He's riding his tail with a Thunderbird.
It's like terrible 30s radio.
The theater of the mind. From a fucking retard.
The Thunderbird's getting closer now. He's 10 feet off, 8 feet off, 6 feet off.
And in the shadow.
But now they're on Ensenal Canyon Road.
In a world.
Look around and he's there. The shadow.
It is film noir music, too.
He gives him a finger. Yeah. Oh, no. He flips.
He flips the bird, and the guys in the back seat immediately put their seatbelts on.
It's time. They know what it means. They've seen the cover before.
All of a sudden starts playing in fast forward.
Yeah, I was going to say, I love fast forward.
So he's pushing this guy up the hill. Just smashing the shit out of him.
This is
like a really sketchy-looking chase scene, actually.
He shoves them up into a dirt hill, and now guns come out, and people get out.
And they start murdering. And it's called the scene is called Driver Education.
Wait,
here's the line. He beats the shit out of him a little bit. Slams on the ground. Get off your
tailgate! And this has been an audio excerpt from a David Lynch film.
This is Film Adventures. In audio.
Stop the car at 35 miles an hour. 6 seconds, Charlie. It's 106 fucking feet, mister. If I had to stop suddenly, you would have hit me. I want you to get a fucking driver's manual. I want you to study that motherfucker. I want you to pay the goddamn rules. 50,000 people were killed on the highway last year. Because of fucking assholes like you.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh,
the more you know.
You're gonna get a manual.
That's the best scene in Lost Highway right there.
I wish I could do that to some people.
I will say that film has an excellent soundtrack, though.
It does, yeah.
To me, it's not the fact that you went and watched that. It's that 12,000 other people have had the conversation with him. What's that scene from Lost Highway?
How much horsepower does he say that 450 SEL has?
And you know what? We just bestowed this gift upon like another 50,000.
And what
60,
I didn't say,
people.
So he goes, it's got, here's where 1,400 horsepower pays off. And he mats the gas. The speedometer goes from like 40 to like 170 in like 2 seconds. This is ridiculous.
Oh, we've totally, yeah, we've totally filmed here before.
Yeah, it looks like exactly like the roads we film on, except shittier, because we do a better job filming cars than David
Lynch.
Well,
the technology has changed a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Well, I mean, what does Facebook have to say?
This was shot on, like, a StarTech.
I think it was shot on a Panavision film
camera. I think
that movie's
literally 20 years old now.
That would be actual
94?
Film.
Yeah.
That would
yeah.
be film.
Probably.
If you could daily drive any one car from the collection for a year, what would it be?
Ooh.
So I have to daily drive it.
You got to daily it, and everything that comes with it.
A day.
Uber won't
except
stop.
Except presumably you don't have to pay for the maintenance. Let's call it that.
Yeah, yeah. Don't Fantasyland.
Daily drive. We have a Porsche 901.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Incorrect answer. The answer was Batmobile.
Yeah, the Batmobile. there's a car called the Chase Italia.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful Italian. I mean, just work of art. Two-seat coupe.
Those are neat.
Our Barchetta Ferrari, to me, is our most beautiful car.
Yeah, those are very nice.
But daily drive, you're not going to go too far in that?
No. I would still go with Frankenheimer's 560.
Oh, the 560 SEC then.
So that did we talk about it? I think we talked about it before.
Yeah,
it's
we
a
did.
560
talked
SEC.
We talked about it in this episode.
Yeah, with AMG monoblocks. Well, and as a supercharger and a fucking wet fogger system in it.
Yeah.
It's nutty. It's good.
Do you think he was the oldest, whitest guy in the world saying, put the Lorenzos on it?
they weren't Lorenzos.
I think he was going Benzo on Lorenzo.
What's so crazy about Lorenzo is that Lorenzo, the term, is how black people were saying Lorenzer. And then subsequently, another brand came out actually called Lorenzo.
Look, all my 80s Mercedes knowledge comes from Eazy-E. So
black people in the 90s couldn't
right
pronounce Lorenzer properly.
Right there.
So it became Easy Lorenzo's.
Mr. E taught me everything I need to know about the 560. So that is where my knowledge comes from.
If you were listening to his songs, man, rap was so much easier back then. I heard a song, he's like, looking for some place to chill. Went to where my friends were, and they like to get ill. I was like, this is one step above Lil Wayne.
How about the fact if you drove a Lexus, terrible. You were balling?
I heard a really
Big Daddy Kane.
We heard a really great Big Daddy Kane's. What was this? I can't remember what the song is called, but he's like, the cops be all up in my face because they don't think a brother could be driving a car worth $20,000.
Yeah,
no, it's like $25,000.
I want to take just the stuff they bragged about happening in early rap.
Oh, yeah.
And then move. I mean, imagine if Jay-Z talked about having an Acura Legend.
Now I gotta act. Ludacris has an Acura Legend.
It's a good-looking car.
He likes his Acura Legend a lot.
I think Jay-Z rapped about a Lexus, like LS, with all the drugs in the trunk.
He did. No, Kanye was talking about Lexuses along in his first album a lot.
And big
and crashing GSs.
Because Kanye's parents both probably drove them.
No, it's a weird morbid thing that I love about the Peterson that there's a rapper murdered in a car of note. It was a car murder.
Why
out
is that
front?
Is can there be a Notorious B.I.G.
memorial?
So
we'll get a Suburban. We'll shoot it up full.
I thought
holes.
It was a 750.
That was Tupac in Vegas.
It was in the west side of the ring. You put the Tupac one, and on the east side of the east wing, you put the Biggie one.
Look, I mean, they have John Dillinger's Bonnie and Clyde's cars on display. They
yeah.
have Hitler's
they have
cars
Hitler's
on
car?
Display.
Yeah,
we don't have Hitler's car, but
the museum at John Wayne Airport has one of Hitler's cars.
He's had a lot of cars.
The six wheeler.
I think there's one up in Canada that's got one of Hitler's cars.
It's different. Someone shot in the car, though.
No, on the anniversary of the day he died, if you look at our Instagram, like where we get tagged, there are tons of memorials.
Really?
And we always get graffitied.
Really?
Every year, someone graffitis like an RIP. So
thanks.
But I'm not kidding. This year, there was a guy standing, like if you know where the Johnny's is,
yeah.
directly across the street. Camera phone out, 40, so you see the 40 beam pour Peterson in the background. So it is.
We're
not
coming
celebrated.
To Peterson on that day.
Can but, we have a biggie party at the Peterson?
Hey, we call our special events. Oh. You can do whatever.
40s and nines.
No fire inside. Other than that, if you're in
charge,
can
we have it outside
like.
On the roof?
Once again, Christine and special events will handle
Yo,
whatever.
Yo, let's
car
have,
show biggie party.
Let's have the official Smoke and Tire Notorious B.I.G. Remembrance
well,
car show.
If I didn't know any better, I'd say that an organization very close to the Smoking Tire named Shout Engine is owed a couple of favors by the Peterson Museum.
You guys have treated us nicely, yes.
Yes,
there we go.
And you only have a few short days to cash in all your favors.
All right.
What?
Oh, yeah, because they're shutting
we
down.
We go dark for renovation on October 19th. <Yeah. laughs> So, and I'll get this plug in. If you would like to see all the cars in the Peterson in its current state,
yeah.
Come before October 19th. After that, we will be a brand new, fully renovated, new and improved Peterson.
I've seen the renderings.
It's a big
cool.
remodel, right?
It is. Is it going to look like the renderings that I saw in the basement there?
I believe so.
And they were in your offices. So
yeah.
Probably,
no,
right?
I mean, we are... Look, this stuff is over the digital content and social media manager's head, but that is our goal.
Yeah, yeah. What else we got on Facebook?
Now that we've chosen our daily? Do you see a trend in what cars are interesting to visitors? You know, as they...
It's a weird thing because sometimes we're a little jaded. You know, we're looking for the rarest of the rare, and then we forget, you know, especially living in just Los Angeles, you see a Ferrari on every corner.
Yeah.
We forget that a guy on vacation from Ohio doesn't just see a Bugatti Veyron or doesn't just see a Ferrari or doesn't just see a Mercedes. So a lot of times the most common stuff is the most loved stuff.
I mean, yeah.
And I'm not in a pejorative way, but... You know, a guy from Ohio isn't going, I can't wait to go see that Taba Lago I've always been thinking about. Yeah. But they want to see the cool poster cars and stuff they know on their walls.
The commonly known stuff is commonly appreciated.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's a Countach.
Was that a beer?
No.
No, it was a phone.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So it was a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
It deserves to be.
But not as messy.
No, I mean,
my
but a Countach made a statement in history that... Totally warrants
being in a museum.
Surprised
you guys don't have a Countach, in fact.
They're $1 million now.
Maybe I would put a Countach in my ultimate sports coupes.
Yeah?
I'd probably put... What did I say? I don't know what I said before, but I think I'd rather have a Countach.
You said Carrera GT, I think.
Oh, yeah. I'd rather have a Countach.
Countach, I could see.
Countach is really
in a museum. I'd rather put a Countach for my personal display in the museum than
daily. It looks more unique.
Yeah.
It's true.
What else you got?
Is there a brand? Well, I think this is a general question for everybody. What brand has the most dedicated fan base, which is like the most stubborn people?
Porsche,
Chevy, or Ford? Right?
No, Ferrari.
Ferrari or Porsche, maybe.
Ferrari by far. Those,
Ford, man.
I mean, the Mustang guys are Mustang guys, but they're no different. I mean, they're different, but they're no different than hot rod guys, but Ferrari guys, you can see a Ferrari guy from 20 miles away.
The most important thing, though, is you can see a guy that wants to be a Ferrari guy by his jacket from 15 feet.
No, the Ferrari guys have the jackets.
They all have them, too.
Hats.
Yeah. That guy who fucking rolled that Ferrari down the hill on Mulholland, he had the full outfit.
Oh, he did.
And he had his F-Type also, and he would come out in one car and then go home and change clothes. And change cars and come back.
Well, you don't want to wear your fries of an F-Type. That'd just be ridiculous.
It's like Mr. Rogers,
isn't it?
It's like, those are my indoor shoes. that's not what Mr. Rogers sounds like at all. He sounds much creepier than that.
You know
like
who's got a dedicated fan base?
I have to change my
And I will think you can, because I love Datsuns. I love 510s. I want a 510 in the worst way. Have you met DeLorean fans?
Yeah, they're weird.
Okay. Oh,
they're weird.
There is where I'm going with that. Where you were like,
they're weird.
You're making this bad for me.
I know. They're really weird.
They are the most passionate people.
They are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another interesting fan base, the guys that are into the custom vans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're fun, though.
You know, we have a photographer.
Diverse.
You guys know
like
Driving Line?
And hot box and stuff.
You know Tim Sutton?
Yeah.
Photographer Tim Sutton?
Yeah.
He has got a van that is just... High up in the back, side exhaust. It's got the coolest 70s custom
paint
job.
So he's got like an old school van, like the old school movie van where they abduct people.
Yeah.
But it's brand. Yeah. I mean, it is the paint job's got to be a $20,000 paint job. It is one of the cleanest, coolest old vans you've ever
seen. All people
that
are into those vans They all like to party. Doesn't matter if it's a hot rod mechanic guy or a surf dude. That's what brings them together.
It's like, you got beer? Let's drink them.
It's like, I want to be able to bring a little bit of a house everywhere and see what shakes down.
They're all McConaughey.
They are.
Yeah. And all of their steering wheels, they're like, if the steering wheel only was like a ship. If it was like a ship steering wheel, it would be so much better.
Yeah, we were leaving my place one day. Zach was down there, and we go out, and there's probably somewhere between 30 and 50
really
of them
all
right
up.
In front of my house, all lined up in front of the ocean taking pictures.
Did you guys in your high school have the guy with the fast van?
I did not have a fast van.
No. Oh, we had a guy with a 454 in his van.
Actually, holy shit, you know what? We had these two brothers. I went to, like, the whitest, Jewiest school you can imagine.
Sure. Oh, no.
So they imported six black people from the hood to play sports.
Yeah.
And
ours went on to play for the Seahawks.
Really?
By the way. Yeah.
Oh, I don't.
Other one went to Harvard.
Oh, really? That's funny. The other one. There's two. There was like six at our school, and so two of them were brothers who were from like Co-op City or something, which is just north in the Bronx, kind of. And they drove one of those early '80s turbo Voyagers.
Sure.
Remember those? There was a Plymouth Voyager that you could get with like a stripped interior and like a stick shift, like one of them 3 foot tall shifter stick shifts and a turbo. And it would do burnouts like crazy. It was awesome. Yeah.
So he had Big Daddy Ross shifter.
It was a proper shitbox. It wasn't custom, it was just a shitbox. But it did awesome front wheel drive burnouts.
The two cars that beat everything at our school, automatic RSX included, was the van with the 454, and then a Mazda 626 with a 100-shot nitrous tank.
Oh, whoa.
Bolted to the floor pan of the back seat.
Oh, God.
The car's fast, though.
Was it?
Oh, yeah, that car's fast.
Like twice.
There were two of the fastest cars. One was a car owned by a wealthy kid who... His dad funded a Nova project, and he put like a ZZ430 in it. So it was like a crate built, you know, kind of catalog built 66 Nova. It was quick, to his credit.
Let's get everything from Summit.
Yeah, and then the other guy was mechanic, like interesting childhood, tough as fuck, and then worked at Sunoco Gas and built his own Roadrunner that had like NASCAR switches in the center console. It was like flick, 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 and it's like, oh shit, Dan's here. It's like a primer, and like he will fuck Steve up in more way than one.
So we didn't have a ton. I went to school mid-2000s, so early mid-2000s was in high school, so it was, and I'm from the Inland Empire.
Yeah.
I need to preface it with that. So it was raised truck as you can get, and then import cars.
We had a lot of parents bought their kids Grand Cherokees. A lot of mid to late 90s Grand Cherokees going on. Ton of Audi S4s. Because the parents didn't know what the S4 was, but they knew all-wheel drive was good and German was safe. And so the kids would be like, Mom, can I get an S4? What's an S4? It's like an A4, but it has better leather and different wheels. Like, okay. All six of those kids hit stationary objects.
I was this close to getting a first-generation WRX.
Oh, yeah, those two.
until I rode passenger in my friend's 914, and we totaled it through a stop sign coming down the mountains.
Oof.
Yeah, yeah.
You crashed in a 914 and survived?
Yes.
That's nasty.
Yes, only because before we went, should we take the top off? It's too much work.
Really?
So shattered the glass. Glass went over us. It really wasn't that bad of an accident.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, it bent the whole chassis of the car.
Just the stop sign?
Just the stop sign. Because we were coming around a turn, and the turn was kind of going up. So right when we crested the hill, we just got a little too light. Mm-hmm. Went sideways, overcorrected.
Tank slapper.
Sideways, my side, right through the stop sign.
Oh,
so nice. I needed a slightly safer car.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. It was a weird mix at my school because it was in Palm Beach County, so you had some of the ultra rich, and then you had kind of the middle of the road people like me, and then in Florida they still bus people in from other areas
to balance it out a little bit,
balance quote unquote. So they brought kids from literally the roughest neighborhood in the East Coast of the United States and stick them in there. So it was a weird mix. You had some really fast like Monties and Malibus. My buddy Dave had a really fast Fox body, but then you also had M3s.
Yeah.
And shit like that.
But
so
no matter what,
mix.
It was on chrome because it was Florida.
Florida.
Okay, that and everybody
and
had.
Glitter stuck to the cloth seats.
No, that was. Well, that too. But
that was once I got to college.
Everybody had $8,000 worth of stereo gear.
Yeah, yeah.
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 I posted like pictures on the smokingtire.com of my first car, which is shameful.
what I did to that poor Subaru with the fucking stereo and all that shit. Got anything else?
I don't know. I could get into the stereo thing now if I had like a cruiser on bags.
Guess who has a cruiser that needs a stereo? Zach Clapman.
Ooh, oh, that's true.
It's a cop car. That's for speeding.
You know, I used to build that shit. So
I also drive the speed limit a lot, and so does everybody around me.
That car is well insulated for stereo shit, though.
Yeah. It is. I mean, the stock stereo is
I heard that.
Way better than it should be, I feel like.
Is it the Mach 4? No, it's not.
No, it's a shit system, yeah, but shit. It sounds surprisingly clear when I turned it up. I think it's just bolted into really hard stuff. It does need a system, though.
Anything else on Facebook?
Are you going to do brake upgrades on the Fiesta ST?
Maybe.
I mean, pads and fluid, unless someone wants to send us more.
Yeah, PowerFlex, I guess, maybe we talked about. Yeah, I just got to send them some money.
Cobb sent me an email, and they want to invite us back because they now have an update for the access port, which has switch on the fly tunes. So you can
change the octane, and
you can change tunes on the fly now, as opposed to it takes 5 minutes to load a new tune, and now it takes 3 seconds.
That's awesome.
So he said, Ian and down in Texas said that he has like a couple different settings on his, and he has an economy tune for highway cruising, and then he has like murder death kill tune when it runs full boot 24 PSI all the time.
Oh, you should get that.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go down with
that. And they also said they would write us a 100 octane tune if we want to come and bring in 100.
You get all these things.
Yeah. Does Cobb do anything for a Focus? Just a stock?
Yes, they have suspension and brake packages and exhausts and stuff like that. Yeah, for regular Focus.
I don't want to do it.
Don't do it, though.
I shouldn't.
You should
whatever you spend on the tune for, you can practically lease a new Fiesta for.
Yeah.
If the Fiesta ST was out, I would have gotten it. And I love my Focus, but it is just a automatic, comfortable...
Don't worry about it.
Leave it stocked.
Because that car will just depreciate if you change anything on it.
Leave it and enjoy it.
All right.
Yeah. What do you want to plug? Car Stories, Peterson Podcast?
Go to carstories.com. We have bunch of new articles on there. We're featuring every couple days cars from our collections with brand new photos and info on the cars. We have our podcast, Car Stories Podcast, on iTunes, brought to you by the good folks at Shout Engine.
Yep. Right, get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, our most recent is Tanner Faust.
Nice.
Our upcoming is Brian Benedict, who is
a
designer for Hot Wheels.
Oh, cool.
And shockingly interesting how much work goes into designing a Hot Wheel.
I'm sure it's a ton.
He did the Darth Vader.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Very, very interesting.
I saw the life-size version of that.
He did that like one as well. Weeks.
That was an ugly car, though.
Are any of those functional, drivable?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
really?
That will perform like a C6 Corvette.
Can I drive it?
You can ask him.
Nice. We could probably get him. My my lady friend works at Mattel.
We still should have had our Hot Wheels party.
What? Our Hot Wheels?
That could be our 300,000 YouTube follower party.
Oh, Hot Wheels party? Oh, where you bring... Yeah, we want to have a party where we set up a crazy Hot Wheels track and have everyone has to bring a car and we have racing for money.
Well, go to that thing. Go to the thing at LACMA. Do they still have that?
Do they have a giant Hot Wheels?
You never saw the Metropolis at LACMA?
I think I saw a video of it, yeah. But you don't bring your own car.
No. But you could drop a few in there.
That's true. We could leave some marked cars.
Yeah. You could watch them in there. No, he brought in, though, some... pre-production, they're called first shots, where after they make them, they're not painted.
Yeah.
And I said, do these ever make it out in the public? He goes, oh, when they do, they're worth thousands.
Yeah, yeah.
The rest of the episode, I'm just staring at that going trying to leave that behind.
Yeah, going, how am I going to swipe this thing?
And it went on Jedi eBay, mind there's nothing on eBay. It's not like...
Why didn't you just straight up ask him for one?
He wouldn't give them to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he brought two, but we did it both in the same day, Tanner Faust and this Brian guy. Tanner had a Rockstar hat, Rockstar shirt. I was that's nice. He brought it. You know, he brought me stuff. That's cool. He's the first guy's ever brought stuff. Right before we start the interview, he puts it on.
Oh.
You know, for like the sponsors, like, okay, that makes sense. So guy brings a bunch of boxes of all the Star Wars Hot Wheels he designed.
Yeah.
All the Marvel stuff. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm going to want some of that stuff. And he goes, oh, sorry, I should have brought you guys something. This is all pre-production, so I can't give it to you.
Oh.
It's like, okay, so this is yet to pay off.
Someone who works over there sent me three gold DeLorean Hot Wheels.
There you go.
Yeah, it was very nice. What's Twitter?
Twitter.com at Peterson_Museum. Everything else is Peterson Museum, and it's all E's.
Wait,
P-E-T-E-R-S-E-N.
But there's Peterson Museum and Peterson underscore Museum?
This is all before my time, man. I just inherited what I got. All
right, I feel you on that.
I make do with what I got.
Going up on YouTube this week, we've got the Audi RS5 convertible, which is a good film we made. And then we've also got on Drive the Fiero. Which is going to be awesome.
That's already going up. Wow.
Well, Nino's going to do it this week. By the time the video goes up, it'll be shortly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Fiero is really, really cool. That's one of the good ones, I think, for sure. And then, the fuck else?
Musto's cab over test is already up by now. If you want to see a really weird, cool green hot rod truck.
Yeah.
That has a remote cab tilt system, and so the guy that built it was fucking with all these people that were eating at lunch in Napa, and people were walking up to look at it, because like, whoa, this is kind of thing. It's like Shrek. It's huge. And he'd just sit there and like look at him. He'd just hit this clicker and just cab tilt forward, and they'd be like, whoa, what's going on? And he'd move it back down.
That's
he'd
funny.
Just fuck people all day.
Did you get a video of that?
Gots in Napa.
Gots
in
Napa is real good. Yeah.
What? And then, of course, we have the V60 Polestar, which we didn't even really talk about. We can talk about it more next week.
It's really good.
It's really good.
We talked about it for a minute.
I talked about what it is, but that's really all.
If you have the means, I suggest you.
If you have $61,000 and are looking for a station wagon that is the exact right size, that's a fucking good
car. It handles great.
Handling was amazing.
No, that's still cheaper than a CTS-V or a
Well, it's only C63. 350 horsepower. It gets all of that to the ground, and the handling is amazing.
All right, go back with the Volvo.
Polestar really knows how to set up a chassis, like, really good.
I think that car will handle better than a CTS-V.
And by the way, I know this is going on, but we thought it was a little stiff on the 405. I asked the Polestar guys, so those Ohlins dampers are 30... There's 30 clicks on each damper.
Oh, shit.
So zero is the stiffest, 30 is the softest. So they gave it to us at 10-10. That's front, 10 front, 10 rear. If you bought the car, you'd probably go like 15-25 for the street and then like 5-15 for the track.
Okay.
And so he knew I would want to drive fast and whatever, so he put it at 10-10, which is like performance street driving.
That's a lot of options.
So it was a little stiff on the 405 where it's really choppy, but then in the corners it was like, whoa, what the fuck? So good balance, but if you owned it, it's adjustable, but for good reason.
Yeah.
Because Ohlins is the shit.
And expensive.
I actually think you probably get them for less than they would actually cost normally if you get them with that car. It's probably a $6,000 suspension. It probably only costs, in terms of that option package, like three.
The few times I've seen Ohlins suspension online, it's not cheap.
It's for race cars, generally. Yeah. If you're buying an aftermarket, it's going on a race car.
Yeah. Anyway, it's the video will be up on the Smoking Tire. It's a cool video. We went to 10,000 feet, one of the highest places in California where you can drive a car. So follow us on Twitter at The Smoking Tire, Facebook / The Smoking Tire. Watch our videos on YouTube at The Smoking Tire. Look at my pictures on Instagram at The Smoking Tire. And read our bullshit at thesmokingtire.com. And, of course, our podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's free. It's easy. Is it free?
There are free options.
There's free options.
It can be free.
It can be free. And we will we'll see you guys next week. Bye.